prepaid feed services in association with Who1.co.uk presents the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 252. I'm Adam and Ranger Scopes, and here's Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
What?
Pardon?
What?
I said Ranger. I'm not repeating my quote. Thank you very much. Listen.
Yeah, I thought you said Debbie.
No, I said Kirby.
Kirby.
Okay. We need radiation to survive, so we must increase our supply of radiation.
God, it's like he was in the room, wasn't it? Debbie Melrose.
This senseless evil killing.
That was my next one on the list.
Rhys Parton.
My bacon's a bit salty.
Is that?
That was one of mine.
And Mary Lang.
I'm much too old to be a pioneer.
Oh, don't talk
though
nonsense.
I was one once among my own people.
That was another of the ones I was getting.
That was brilliant.
And that's very interesting. I guess we'll discuss that later.
Because I got a bit confused with my coughing, and my actual quote was going to be, bear in mind, I did have slightly better plannings until I started coughing, "You will move ahead of us and follow my directions," was my actual quote I wanted to use.
Oh, I've got one that was...
No, that's it.
Another one I was going to use was, "I have some experience in these corridors. They all look alike."
Yeah, I only went and referred to that one because that was my actual quote, but I forgot it right at the last moment. Okay, right. Before we move on to the general subject of this particular show, I'd like to dedicate this show to Diane Walling from the Coltham Collective, who passed away recently. Yeah. Very sad. So I'd like to dedicate this show to her. So everybody behave yourselves. Nah, let's carry on. Right. This week we're going to be looking...
Behave yourselves and do what?
I was joking. Never mind. Right. Yeah, we're looking at the Daleks this week. Hopefully my window's popped up with the show. Now, don't worry, Mary. It's not going to be an incredibly detailed synopsis.
Please.
Okay?
Yeah.
Goodness.
Right.
7 episodes of you talking about this.
Right. Episode 1 That's begins with a title sequence, which has lots
no,
of
really?
Wishy-washy sort of stuff going across the screen. And then the words Doctor Who appear.
Doctor Who.
And then they talk about... I was going to try and make this sound really long and drawn out. Just
I
to
know,
wind
you're
up.
Diving into detail here.
Diving into detail. And then the radiation thing on there. The TARDIS is very poor sort of monitor thing that doesn't
Master?
Display... Can I finish my sentence?
It's a Geiger display. Counter. I think that's what Kirby was going to
say.
No.
Yeah. Go on then, Kirby. I'm not going to be able to get my words out as
continue.
Usual.
Continue.
Oh, can I? I was just saying that there are slow reacting things on the TARDIS console. Yeah. And then we have a strange effect with the when they walk out of the TARDIS. It's all a bit weird, all grey and strange, and then it all clears up. Mm. What's that all about then, Kirby?
That's
what thing?
They walk out the TARDIS and the picture's a bit grey and blurry and then it clears itself up.
It was showing the effects of the radiation.
Well, and as soon as they pick some stuff off the ground...
It gets clear. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you should know. We normally know everything, doesn't he, everybody?
Bad camera work.
You reckon? Mm,
okay. Yeah.
Anyway, so they're basically in a petrified forest, and they
I like
have
the
lots
use of the plastic in the petrified.
Oh, I see that the note I was the reason I was mastering the second ago was
the
not for this episode.
Watching.
So never mind.
I'm glad it was just mastering.
You were mastering? Would you care to expand on that?
Please,
oh, please don't make him expand on it, please, Mary. Yes, Kirby.
Never mind. When we get to episode 2, I have to.
Well, this is episode 1 we're talking about, and if you'd allow
Correct.
Me to continue.
Don't master just a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, so basically. Excuse me. Yeah, so they're in this petrified forest and they're just wandering around it, poking at things and finding it's all a bit charred and dusty and, you know, a bit like it's been in a nuclear war or something like that. But basically, the whole episode is them wandering around this this sort of jungly bit. And then the Doctor wants to go down into the city, but the others want to go back to the TARDIS.
I like the fact that Susan keeps finding the flower and yeah. it keeps getting broken.
Yeah. Which looks like it's been made by a Blue Peter technician.
It's
very basically an egg-shaped thing with little V's cut out of it, basically. So the Doctor cons them into...
Well, that creature that they find is pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
The sculpture. I wonder if that sculpture still exists someplace.
Who knows?
I hope so.
It probably came out of somebody's home.
Yeah, so anyway, they go back to the TARDIS so they can have the food machine and the and then the Doctor sort of pretends there's something wrong with a fluid link. So they have to go back down to where the only place there could possibly be any mercury, because the mercury is what's inside the fluid link, is in the city. And they wander around the
city. Yeah, you can find mercury very easily by wandering into any city whatsoever.
Can you?
Yes.
That's good to know.
Just ask for some mercury, yes.
That's good to know, Kirby. And that's essentially episode one, which ends, of course, with Barbara getting attacked by a sink plunger.
Oh,
the most iconic sink plunger. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
In history.
Yeah.
For Doctor Who.
you've got to mention that there was that wonderful food machine as well.
I did mention this. You obviously weren't listening during that bit.
I was probably reading.
No, you weren't. Probably reading.
I mean, I've got
the fact you inserted the word probably rather incriminates yourself, doesn't it?
If Debbie's got 14 pages of notes, she's winning the quiz.
No, it's going to be more difficult for her to win the quiz this week because she can't possibly look over my shoulder.
The question will come out and she'll spend half an hour trying to look for
pages fluttering.
Yes.
Anyway, so they're poking around this city and finding various pieces of equipment. One that obviously made me laugh was the Geiger counter with the words Geiger counter on it on an alien planet.
It's a universal name.
That's a TARDIS translation circuit.
Yeah, that's what I thought, actually. It was a TARDIS translation
circuit. Before the days of the TARDIS translation circuit.
Yeah. They get caught by the Daleks, but Ian has to be stupid and tries to run off. And unusually, they just paralyze him.
My
legs! My legs! I can't feel my legs. Yeah, go on.
This episode was taped on 22nd November 1963. Minutes before taping started, the cast and crew learned of the Kennedy assassination, but then they decided to continue recording.
Well, professionals, obviously.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they get banged up in the cell and they start feeling a bit poorly. And, of course, they realise that they're suffering
from
radiation.
It's real good sick acting.
Is it?
The Doctor gets really hit, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Really hit.
They're all getting really sweaty and... Yeah.
And that was good attention with the makeup, etc. Unless it was really hot in the studios.
It was also interesting to get...
Lime Grove.
It was also quite interesting to get the really good detail of the Doctor's costume. I thought that was quite interesting, though, where he's lying down. It enabled you to look at his costume in great detail. Yeah, so he's not very well. And, of course, Ian can't travel because his trying to get up and walk acting was quite funny. And his cardigan being sort of mostly undone, where they're really, really hot, you would have thought he'd take the cardigan off, Ian, eh? But no.
His legs up. That's a sensible thing to do when they're paralysed.
Tripped over his own feet, really, didn't he? And the Daleks, made me laugh even more. So the Daleks looking as if, what on earth are you doing? And the other thought was really good. The pupil inside the Dalek eye stalk... very cleverly done. How'd they do that then, Kirby? I'm sure you know.
They had a very old camera that they took it out of. Mm. It was a still camera. Only one of the four Daleks is capable of doing that because they only had one of those.
Mm. Well, still, yeah. I liked that effect.
Yeah.
And it ended up...
And I love the way you said that the Daleks are looking at him like, what the hell are you doing? Really, they're not. They're an inanimate object, but they're such a clever design that we can get so much character from them.
For being just this iconic pepper pot, they are expressive. They're just the gestures of the plunger and things like that. It's just
also, bearing in mind that the newer Daleks were sort of modelled on Billy Piper's height and when Susan walks past the Dalek's basically her height. If it can look at her in the eye, if it bothers to, which it doesn't on this particular occasion. But Susan has to go off.
I didn't realize we were going to talk about the height of the Daleks because I just heard the height of these Daleks last night and I didn't write it down.
Doesn't matter. Yes, it does. No, it doesn't.
But they did such a good job with the corridors in their fortress or city, whatever, because they look like they're only the height and the shape that the Daleks would need. So the humans have to do a lot of crouching and all that to get through. Mm-hmm. I thought that was very
good attention for set design.
Master?
Yeah.
Master. Mm-hmm. In the commentary, Christopher Barry, who directed four of the episodes, was looking at the corridors and he was lamenting over how badly the join between the walls and the floor is. Going, this looks horrible.
Oh my gosh. Nobody noticed that.
Well, anyway, I'm back to the story.
I thought the sliding up and down of the doors was also very nicely done.
Yeah, I agree. And a lot of the...
They did put, like, there was a lot of weight attached to them. I mean, of course, there were that they just brushed them to one side. But
the other thing, talking about weight on them, Debbie, was later on in the story when the Daleks cut through that door. And it looks, when they're cutting through, it's like cling film. When it falls down, there's a great big thick clang. I thought that was brilliantly done.
Yeah, yeah. And yet, when they would show, like, Barbara panicking behind one of the doors, you could see through it.
Yeah.
You could see her shadow. Mm. So I thought that was nicely done.
Yeah.
Anyway. So Susan is the only one that's well enough to go back to the TARDIS and pick up the sort of medicine that the Thals, they didn't realise at the time, but the Thals had left a little box of
radiation. Yeah, they do a lot of speculating. Well, it could be, it couldn't be, and then it's just assumed it is straight away. Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Very clever. Yeah, and then we have a bit more of the old people hitting her in the face with with undergrowth. But she's running around in circles, I think, on that particular. Yeah, here we go. What now?
If you'll notice, in this case, when she gets back to the TARDIS, she has a cut on her cheek. She actually physically cut her cheek while running past.
Not
the stuff.
Surprised.
Yeah.
By being hit by various stage technicians, you mean?
I don't think they did it that way in this particular.
I think they did a little
story.
Bit.
They did do. There was quite a bit of face slapping with twigs. Yes. Yeah. But so, anyway. The Daleks almost all the way through, at least once or twice an episode, will give you a brief summing up of what's going on.
Yeah.
I thought that was quite good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So basically, she gets back to the ship and then grabs the thing and then leaves, and that's the end of. That's not the best cliffhanger ever, but and leaves the ship, and then immediately in episode three meets a very scary Thal.
That actually looks
very familiar.
Master.
Yes.
I was quite relieved. I'd seen the Peter Cushing movie a couple of times. This was the first time I'd watched this through, and I was quite relieved to see that the Thals were not all glamored up, with the eyeshadow and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Those Thals are ridiculous.
That's because they had the ability to use color in the film, whereas obviously this is black and white.
But they
there
did
was
it
no
too
need.
Much.
Yeah, they did. I agree.
Yeah, they did way too much.
So Susan very quickly makes friends.
Can you imagine how long it took the Thals in the movie to get ready every morning?
Good grief.
Probably hours.
As I say, Susan.
My first note for this episode is actually, go on, Susan, get out the TARDIS.
That's right. Anyway. We're waiting for you.
Susan very quickly makes friends with Aladdin. And the next thing, she's just back at the... Oh, thank you. Oh, Debbie. Oh. Must be appreciated. Anyway, so she makes it back very quickly. They take the medicine and start feeling a bit better. Isn't that nice?
Magic water again.
Magic water again. The Dalek feeds them. They're very ungrateful to the Dalek.
I don't know about magic's water.
Thank you. Very ungrateful to them. Didn't even say thank you to the Dalek who brought in their food.
I noticed that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You would think... by the way, another thing with the... How to tell the Daleks apart. Master?
Yes.
Only one Dalek has a magnet on the end of its plunger.
Is that right?
So that Dalek was specifically the one who was made to carry things.
Okay, thank you.
So that was the teammate
paper to show what Susan's written.
Yes.
Sad you can actually see the magnet in the plunger, and never mind. But
you notice it's the very same one that's got the iris.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that was their special.
That was the deluxe Dalek.
Yes.
Dalek. He was the fully functioning Dalek.
Oh, fully functioning, Mary.
Ooh.
Oh.
That's what she said.
Anyway, so the Daleks get Susan to write down a message to the Thals when they probably could have been easier to just print it out on one of their high-tech computers, but nevertheless...
Is this word Susan?
Yeah, Susan, yeah. Well, I like that pronunciation. It made it a bit less human, because that's the only thing I didn't... You know, the fact they called her Susan was a bit of a shame that they should have given her a more alien name. But it still could be an alien name if it wasn't spelt S-U-S-A-N. If they could have spelled it S-U-Z-A-N or something like that.
Name. It could be
Suzanne.
It's true.
Susan.
Yes. Thank you. That's my way of thinking.
In an old girl school, her name had to be, you know, like all the others.
But she kept it as, never mind.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it doesn't necessarily have to be the same as all the others, does it? Really? Yeah, so the... Aladdin has given Susan a cloak, which Ian decides he's going to use to capture a Dalek, because the Doctor has realised that they must get their power through the ground. He's clever that way, you see. Meanwhile, the Thals...
That's the noisiest cloak. Yes. The noisiest cloaks.
Yes.
Static electricity doesn't work that way. You can't use
doesn't it? Well.
What?
Anyway...
you skip the scene back at the Thals with the Thals.
Yeah, when the sort of.
Well, I'm happy when he skips scenes because it gets him through this quicker.
Well, I was going to note that Thal women use pipe cleaners as major hair accessories.
Do they?
Yes.
Okay, well, Thal women obviously
from birds.
Thal women obviously great fans of Blue Peter. So anyway, the Dalek comes in. Ian sort of disables the CCTV. The Daleks know this, but let them carry on. But they're stupid enough to allow one of them to be caught. Some horrible creature is taken out. And they send the women out into the corridor so they don't have to see it.
That was so weird.
Yes.
Then he gets in and his voice is all Dalek-y.
Yeah, that's really clever. That's really cool, in fact.
Master.
Yes. Speaking of monotone, they'll recognize you.
Have we gone on to the next episode where he's tooling around, supposedly inside the Dalek? Tooling around.
No, we're still in episode 3.
Okay.
Just at the very end.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he hasn't gotten in it yet.
Yeah, he's in the Dalek.
He does.
Okay,
he's
got in the Dalek.
He does, yeah, yes. He does.
And
he gets into it there.
They're pretending to be helped along
and then
the corridor.
He needs to push him, that's and then it pans to the Dalek tentacle.
Oh, yes. Susan's very pleased with herself.
That's a gorilla hand that they bought from a joke shop.
Okay, cool.
Then they slather
destroying the illusion.
Exactly. Aww. Ruin the magic, Kirby. Yes. Well done.
Thank you. No, you don't have to ruin the magic. It's in the other room at the moment.
It's a Dalek mutant is what it is.
Thank you, Mary.
Exactly.
Don't listen to Kirby. Kirby's the sort of person that if Father Christmas knocked on the door, bearing gifts with Rudolph and the other reindeer sort of...
I wonder how many...
Yes, the tangerine on the windowsill means there really is a Santa.
Yeah. Yeah. As Kirby would say, you're an illusion of my dream.
Everybody else would say, Kirby's a spoilsport because nothing can be real. It's all got to be. Yes.
In episode 4, the Dalek that Ian is inside is a different Dalek than the one he got inside at the end of episode 3. This is not the one with the magnet.
There you go. So, anyway,
I'm relieved. Master.
Yes.
The only 3 of these episodes have commentary on them, but in this
Thank
commentary, William Russell's one of the people doing the commentary, and he's going on and on and on about.
No, it's not the only person who's going on and on and on.
Sounds like somebody we know.
About how he's inside the Dalek, and he was
inside the Dalek. Sounds a bit rude.
How he was, that was such a horrible episode. Anyway, he's going on and on about how easy it was to move around and stuff like that, as if he were actually in this Dalek, and he apparently his memory now is that he was not. It was just one of the regular Dalek operators, and then he was off to one side, with the microphone and the ring modulator.
Okay. Well, talking about when he was in the Dalek and you see the Dalek shaking, that was quite amusing as he's trying to get out with it. So the way the Dalek was moving, was, but yeah. Is he doing in there? And of course, where they're trying, where Susan, the Doctor, and Barbara are sort of escaped in this lift, and they've repeated this sort of lift. Special effect, and of course the lift only goes down a little bit, obviously, in the scene, and it's quite cleverly edited to make it look like it doesn't.
But so, I do enjoy how they grab a piece of modern art to throw down.
Yes.
What are Daleks doing with art?
Yeah, that was weird.
Like I say, when they cut through the door, that when the door falls forward, it looks really thick and solid. That was really, really cool. I like that bit. And then they shoot the empty Dalek and sort of escape. Like I say, they chuck down the artifact, like you say. And then the Thals arrive in a sort of ambush. They wait their time before they say, "It's a trap!" Surely trap beforehand would have been a bit better.
Turns and looks all around and then acts like he didn't really see those Daleks.
Mm.
Unless maybe he didn't expect to see those.
Yes. So that sort of leads to the crew going back to the Thals and making friends with them.
Back to the table of stuff that is laid out for the Thals. Doesn't it look like rolls of toilet paper stacked up in the front?
Yes.
Could well be.
That was my first thought. It's like, could well be. Do they know the Thals need toilet paper?
Well, they would.
Yes.
Are you saying they don't go to the toilet? I mean,
it's the one with the blue rolls.
The Daleks have never seen a Thal. They have no idea what they're like.
Well, the Daleks used to be
got
like
plenty
them.
Like around.
But they kindly provide them with toilet paper.
Anyway, as we're saying,
the Daleks use the little toilets inside their Mark II travel machines, they realise that other people have to go to the toilet too.
Yes, absolutely.
Thinking of the niceties, yeah.
But anyway, they make friends with the Thals. And, excuse me, pardon me, sorry, I just burped. And they exchange a bit of sort of the history of the planet with the Doctor and Ian, and, they sort of realise at some point that they can't leave, don't they, because the fluid link is still in the city, just to drag it out a bit further.
But aren't the Thals, like, the dullest, most stereotypical creatures on the face of the earth? The scenes with them are so boring.
Well, God, bear in mind, though, Mary, that like, this is like probably the first time an alien race has ever been depicted in British television.
The last one was all about cavemen, so this is sort of a bit of a step up from that. You know, a burgeoning race. You know.
Stand by, everybody, stand by. It's Kirby.
There was a...
when the first alien race was depicted in the UK.
No. There was a subplot. Yeah.
Stand by.
What?
Stand by.
What?
It's the co-founder of the show arriving home.
Oh.
Welcome, co-founder of the show.
Hello, co-founder of the show.
Hang on. Alicia, listen to this, sorry. No, yeah, say it again.
Hello, co-founder of the show.
She's pretending she can't hear you, and she can quite clearly hear you.
You're not hearing me.
Sorry, it's raining.
Where is my car? Tell me where my car is.
Outside somewhere.
Yeah, but where did I park my car?
I can't remember.
Tell me where you parked my car. I want to go see my car.
It's probably outside in the street somewhere.
Yeah, but I want to make sure it's okay.
It's got a great big dent in the side of it.
Someone's nicked it, we don't even know. I want to check if my car's okay.
It's okay apart from the dent you put in.
Can we drive somewhere then? So I don't have to get a bus and pay for a bus pass?
No, because I've got a man coming round to rip out the bath.
What time's that happening?
Sometime during the morning.
Well, that's helpful. What time are they coming round?
Sometime in the morning.
No, because I need to get ready. So what time?
Sometime in the morning.
I'm getting up at 7. Are they going to be there then?
No.
Okay, right.
Oh, no.
Driving to... Oh, good.
Hello.
Yeah, well done.
It's Charlotte.
Can I see what year it is to see if it's up to date and relevant? It's a driving test.
She only took a test last year.
It's a theory driving test DVD. Oh, is it? That's great. That'll be all right.
I did one today.
Yeah, if you pass it, I'll put you in for it.
I did one today, and I was 2 questions off passing.
Yeah, which means you didn't pass.
Well, I did 2 questions off.
Yeah, so you didn't pass.
Well, 2 questions off.
You need to pass it, don't you?
Yeah.
before you put in for it.
I passed it on my phone.
So when you go into the theory test, do you use your phone, do you, to do it? Or
no,
do you actually use a computer?
I'm on my phone, don't I? So I'd have to carry
yeah,
me
that's just
then.
For practice purposes. You need to pass it.
I'll do another one tomorrow. It's 2013, so I've got that much.
Either way, you need to pass it before you can get put in for your theory exam.
I've got the highway code upstairs, so I'll revise
you got what?
The highway code upstairs.
Oh, that'd be useful to learn the highway code while trying to learn to drive, wouldn't it?
I know most of it.
No, you don't, because so, the first sign your instructor asked you to...
one way.
It was the wrong answer.
It was a one-way road.
It was the wrong answer.
Yeah, but, no, that's not the wrong answer, because it was a one-way road.
No, you said... You did not say it was a one-way road. Oh, you actually said... You said straight ahead is the actual answer you gave.
Yeah, but because I didn't know what side it was. Now I know where it is. I know all the other sides.
I'm glad you didn't say, look up.
I know what all the other sides mean. I was going to get this key ring today that was pink and it had Ford on it, but £7, so I didn't buy it.
And what use would that be to you?
My key rings to prove that I'm a proud owner of a Ford car.
A proud owner of a Ford dented car, yeah.
Every size car has a dent in it. That's why you get cheap cars.
So that's why you put a dent in it, because apparently every car... My car didn't have a dent in it
at all. Yeah, but that's not your first ever car, is it?
My first ever car didn't have a dent in it.
Yeah, but Mum can't have a go at it either, because she crashed that car into a pole. At least I didn't crash it.
But that wasn't the first car she drove.
Yeah, but that's not the first car I've driven.
The only reason she crashed my Beetle into a lamppost is because it didn't have dual control and Beetles are quite difficult to drive.
See? So, I don't care. She crashed it.
Sure,
she
Paul McCartney
well, technically, I crashed it because I got hold of the steering wheel and I pulled it into the lamppost to avoid her crashing into three people that were walking down the pavement at that particular time. So,
PC DVD-ROMs, we opened it on my computer.
Is your computer a PC?
Yes.
So, what do you think?
It's got Windows on it, so it's a PC.
Well, there's windows, window there, there's window in the door, and there's window up in your room.
I can't do that one.
I was about to say, there's probably window in the door.
Wait.
Yes, Alicia, it would have to go on a PC, because it'll only play on a sort of low-budget, down-market sort of piece of computer
there.
Equipment.
I've got those snacks, and then I hid them under Matt's bed, because I don't want him
you
to...
You hid what under Matt's bed?
My snacks, because I don't want him to nick them, and I know
okay, what did you think of the Doctor Who Christmas special? Well, how come you shut up and watched it without any... And also, how come you were looking at your phone for the first few minutes and then you actually looked up from your phone and put the phone down whilst it was on? You didn't fall asleep.
Matt didn't touch me back.
You were downstairs with us whilst we were watching it and you put your phone down and actually started watching it. And then you watched it for about 5 and then realised that you were watching it because I saw you watching it and decided you wanted to criticise it for a little while.
It was boring.
No, it wasn't boring because otherwise you wouldn't have put your phone down. Actually, you watched it with us round... Round cut up stuff. You watched it round Nanny and Puppy. You didn't think it was boring because you didn't make any comments about it until now. That means she liked it.
I don't like it.
You liked the Christmas special?
No.
Is that the first Capaldi episode you'd watched?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you can't really judge, can you?
What?
She doesn't like the Moffat era, do you, Alicia? She thinks it's gone downhill a bit since the Moffat era. Do you not, Alicia?
Yeah.
There we go.
Ben been talking to her.
Is what, talking to her?
Hello.
Ben. Has he been talking to
her? No, Ben and Alicia don't get on.
Where's Ben?
He's taken a bit of classic Doctor Who retirement. We're doing the bit that you did. We're actually watching episodes of Doctor Who from the beginning. You did that.
Why are you smiling? About... I haven't been
that's 7 years
any
ago.
Dogs or cats. So
why are you smelling? Right, anyway, back to this episode. where did I get up to with it? Sorry, that was a little bit of
no idea.
A bit of sidetracking. The co-founder, the co-founder of the show has left the room.
Debbie?
Yeah?
Where did you get that picture?
Which
of
one?
Of the shopping for TARDISes? That's cool.
I was just looking through anime Doctor Who because I put it on my page quite regularly, my new Facebook page, and it's
Jesus Christ!
I found it there.
that's really good.
It's nice, isn't it? You know, I thought I better put that up now.
Anyway. Oh dear, where do we get up to? Right. So back to the story. Ian wants the Thals to. Magic Ian wants the files.
The magic.
To shut up.
The magic.
Wants the files.
I don't think there was any magic in this. It's
Christ. Shut up.
Very scientific, yes.
Sorry, that was your fault. Get me stressed out. Ian wants the files to shut up to fight the Daleks. And he goads, I think it's Aladdin, to punching him.
That's episode five.
I don't care. We go back to the Dalek HQ.
Let him skip.
What I thought was really nice about the Dalek HQ is that they had pictures of Daleks all around the walls. You see that?
Yeah. Blown up Daleks. Yeah.
Very nice.
They did? No, I missed that. Oh, you're talking about...
Oh, no, I wish I hadn't mentioned it now.
Now I know what you're talking about.
Hooray.
You're talking about their...
Pictures of Daleks on the walls.
Making it look like there's multiple Daleks. Right.
No, there wasn't. There was just pictures of Daleks.
Some of them look distorted because of the angle of the camera. Mm.
Anyway, so they decide to take different routes into the city. One of them is by this swamp full of mutants.
Mutations.
Yes. It was quite a spooky route. And so they eventually... They decided not to go through the swamp, didn't they? I can't remember now. But then Ian and his little cronies decide to go underground. And then we have the cowardly one. There's always got to be a cowardly one. Is he the Shaggy of the group? I don't want to go.
Yeah. Did you notice...
Scary.
Master?
Yes?
Master? Did you notice that Barbara was wearing a pair of thall pants?
Yes. Yeah, I noticed
Although they were not quite the same as the men's pants... They left off the circle cutout over her hips.
Yes, yeah, they only did it so far up, didn't they? Yes.
Sorry, I've still got the speaker up. You could have told me it was. You could still hear yourselves. I'll turn it down again.
I couldn't hear us.
I couldn't
hear us.
Good.
Maybe you found a place for the speaker where you can use it and it's not a bother.
Oh, okay, I'll put it back up again then. 16 it was on. Right, there we go, it's on 16 again. So this sort of a mutant thing rises up from the swamp, which looks a little bit like a rubber thing. Sorry, what do you expect at that time? It's 1963.
Yeah, it's not that bad.
Yeah, I agree.
It's not bad at all.
The lights,
they're all
eyes light
settle
up.
Down and try to sleep with all that ugly screaming noise coming from the swamp.
Yes.
Now, the eyes... When just before the eyes light up, you do see some sort of strange object underneath it that just catches the light.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah.
But it is a pretty good effect.
Then you've got the Daleks dying or, being poisoned themselves, haven't they, with the radiation?
Oh, yeah, but they realise they need radiation to survive, which didn't last very long in the history of the Daleks, did it?
Very much like... Stolen Earth or Journey's End, whichever one that was, where... Catherine Tate, when she had the Manta Crisis Doctor in her brain and she started fooling her, tinkering with the Dalek technology and they started going crazy and spinning around in that, I thought that this was very much a foreshadowing of what happens when Daleks go wrong.
Can you just... Are you telling me you can't hear yourselves?
Nope.
Good.
Can't hear ourselves.
Okay, good. Okay.
You've done something right.
Have I?
Yeah, I've done.
Marvellous. One of the Thals gets sort of dragged into the swamp and dies a painful and scary death.
Of course, you have to wonder, why are they sending him down to fill water bags
from a
swamp?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Like, what kind of water do they drink?
Especially the swamp filled with mutations from radiation.
Mutations, they grab you and drag you under.
Yeah, but they are taking radiation sickness medicine, so they technically could still drink
well.
It.
They say, it's the glow of the lake.
Let's drink it, everyone.
And he's filling water bags.
So, the doctor...
The most good-looking yet dumbest race in the universe.
The Doctor and his little friends decide to make a different route round the back into the city. But unfortunately, what got me was although quite gripping to a certain degree, especially where Barbara rips off part of the polystyrene wall, was the fact that they went for all this trip through the caves, fell down a few times, got back up a few times, only to find it was a bit of a dead end. But I will say it was very well done, the cave scenes. Doctor and his little cronies get into the city first, and they find it static, definitely static electricity because of one cable that's coming out of this little machine.
There's only one cable. It must be static electricity.
Absolutely, of course it is.
That was bright.
Even though it's going through a conduit where there could indeed be more than one cable.
Right. And again, it's great use of the studio, that whole scene of the, you know, running to jump to the ledge in the cave. You really did feel that they were in a cave and that they actually had some distance to run.
Well, it was particularly challenging in that studio, because that studio was not like square. It was they often described it as almost a corridor. It was long and narrow.
That's what she said.
The one scene where they had to show them moving from the right to the left, and there was a little bit of overlay there as well. Mm-hmm. That was very difficult to film because the studio's shape.
Oh, well, I appreciate what you're saying. The Doctor then basks in his own glory when they destroy the static electricity little conduit. Sorry, Reese.
Oh, I was just going to say that there was a great shot where they used the set really well, I thought, where they shot between the Shaggy one. I don't know his name, but you called him the Shaggy one. Yeah. The scared one. They shot between his legs.
Zoink, Scoop!
Between
his legs.
Zoink, Scoop, run! between his legs. I don't care if you're making a joke out of it. It was between his legs behind him, and he started to run, and I thought that was a great shot.
It gives you a real sense of distance there. You can see Ian on the other side.
Also, there was a scene with a sort of wider shot of them walking through the cage. It reminded me a bit of some of the scenes from Cave of Androzani when the Doctor's going down to trying to get the bat's milk. They sort of use that.
Yeah, that's the scene I was talking about, which was very difficult to stage in such a long, narrow room.
Yeah. So, like I say, there's a lot of it, and there's a bit of scaredy catness from, obviously, I can't remember his name now, the one that was...
Antidus, actually.
Antidus.
Antidus. A-N-T-O-D-U-S. Yes, he's been... Yeah, Antidus, yeah.
Antidote.
The Doctor and Susan have been caught by the Daleks. It does sound a bit painful. So they can just sit down and just be tied to a wall for a bit or whatever. And then the episode ends with Antidus sort of not jumping far enough and then nearly dragging Ian off the ledge. Again, that scene was brilliantly acted.
Cliffhanger. Literally, cliffhanger.
Yeah. Brilliantly acted, really.
Is this the first cliffhanger?
And then
this
suddenly goes. he suddenly goes from a scaredy cat to a hero when he decides to cut the rope. But yeah, that was quite a good little scene. That, and he goes and there's another good little bit of acting. I don't know if anybody noticed it when Ian pulls the rope up and he gets to the end of the rope and his hand's shaking, as you would be if you've been trying to hang on to it. So that was quite good. Mm-hmm. So essentially. The Doctor and Susan, all they can do is talk because they're tied to the wall, while the others sort of think they haven't quite got there. And then there's a hole in the one of the walls that's shining light through. And Ian says, we made it. And, of course, the hole's a little bit small at this stage, but maybe they made it a little bit bigger.
Small, yes.
So they...
It's only made of polystyrene, it's all right.
Yeah. We can take this apart, no problem.
The Daleks have a very, very long and slow countdown at this point.
It's way longer. I was wondering, why do they even have a
countdown from 100?
Well, the countdown's there for our benefit. To build up the suspense, Kirby. It's a drama series. Did you not know this?
And did you notice that they stopped the countdown at one point? Because obviously they would have
going too fast,
hit zero way too early.
Yeah. It's like, we're going to run out of time here. Stop the countdown.
Well, obviously with 42, they timed it rather well, and then maybe they got the adult idea of 42 from this scene. Maybe, possibly, maybe not.
Did you notice the one Thal when the Thals are deciding to go and attack, and they're gathering all their weapons and everything? The one Thal holds up the broken off arm of the metal reptile sculpture.
I didn't notice that, so thank you for pointing it out for me. So the big battle scene then starts when all the Thals sort of descend from all the ceilings and everywhere.
Garlic
and
rumble.
And something along, somewhere along the line, one of the machines that actually powers all the static electricity in the whole city is destroyed, and the Daleks all die, basically. But again, it's a really, really good scene.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have
the
very
long... It's a little
long,
bit like Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead, you know, the way they're...
very long goodbye scene. Now, the interesting thing about after the very long goodbye scene, when the Doctor's going around each part of the TARDIS console to control it, which I thought was really good, because obviously, as we know now, that each segment of that console is for one Time Lord to operate. So he's whizzing around and touching each one. But there's a flash on the console. Yeah. Anybody notice that flash?
Yes.
And as we'll find out later, that flash has a significance later on. So that was the Dalek. Thank you. Thank you, Reese. That flash has a significance, as we'll see later on in the thing. Right. Before we go on, I think it's about time I played a jingle. Oh, actually, it's not going to play, is it? Why is that not going to play? It's a. I'm not going to play that jingle because it will start. Oh, I can play it now. This jingle. Be quiet. I'm playing a jingle.
Not share again, is
come
it?
Come with me.
I can't. I'm going to listen to the 20 megabyte podcast.
You come with me.
Me come with you?
Yes.
Me come with
me. Yes, thank you very much. That was Paul McGann and Daphne Ashbrook. Acting out a scene.
Loudly,
I beg your pardon?
Didn't hear it very loudly this time.
No, we didn't hear it very
good.
Well
that indicates I'm going to have to turn it up a bit in a minute, doesn't it?
That's
right, I'm going to tell you what I thought of this story. And the only problem with the Daleks, and I'm going to forgive it because at the time it would have been a great weekly show, was the way it was drawn out so much. But I still really enjoyed it. I mean, I watched it in a bit of a rush, to be fair. But it's—I don't like the when I see the phrase seven episodes, and oh god! But it's so good. Yes, we can poke fun at certain aspects of it because it was quite very very low budget production, as it would be at that time. But I love the way the actors took it so seriously and really sort of put their hearts and soul into what was essentially a children's TV show. Showed their professionalism. And like a lot of people have said, if it weren't for this story, Doctor Who still wouldn't be with us now. It's so important. I cannot diss it. Reese, what did you think?
I loved it. I agree that there was a bit where it felt a little bit drawn out. Now, I think that was, for me, in the swamps around episode 4 or 5?
Yeah.
Or 5 or 6. But other than that, it is, like you said, it's brilliant. And without this story, Doctor Who wouldn't be here. And without that creature that they invented, Doctor Who wouldn't be here. And something I posted in the Facebook group was a little comparison of the 12th Doctor monologue from Into the Dalek, where he said that basically when he first started, he was just wandering around and just running through time and space. He didn't know what he was doing and who he was until he met the Daleks and saw how evil they were. And a little part of him thought, I won't allow something like that to exist. And then he discovered that the Doctor wasn't the Daleks. And it was cool to hear that monologue and see it delivered by Capaldi when I saw that episode first time around. But this was really cool to see it play out the way it did back in 1963. And I thought that was a really good observation from Moffat. And I thought it was a great bit of character development back in the day when they wrote this. And for that, I think that it's a very dramatic point in the Doctor's story. And yes, like you said, there are things that we could criticize because it was done relatively low budget. It was done as live with enough time for the actors to run to a different set and then they'd start in that set. But I respect it a bit for that too, because that's a lot more work put into it as well. But there are actually some really cool shots as well, because when the Doctor's first interrogated by the Daleks, they force him into the light. So he's standing in this circle of light or kneeling in it. And they're standing over him and basically yelling at him. And I thought that was rather excellently shot. And yeah, there are just nice set pieces in it that do work. Some of them don't, like, you know, polystyrene rocks breaking, but you can excuse that because that's what they had in the day. And they were doing it as live, so they couldn't pause and reshoot it and try and cover up the broken bit. So,
it up.
Sorry?
They do try and cover it up.
Bloody hell, Cher's back.
Sort of.
Kirby, yeah. Now you're breaking up.
Do you believe in life after love?
I love how he says, I am not.
Should I reboot Skype?
Now you're better again.
Yeah, you're better again. Yeah, stop messing around and looking at other windows and stuff.
I'm not.
Yeah, right.
Do I sound better?
Yes.
Good.
Yes,
but anyway, what I was pointing out was that when Jekyll and Hill breaks the set, William Russell immediately puts his hand over her hand, covering up the break, and they kind of hide it for several seconds until they no longer can because of the demands of the action.
Hmm.
Yep.
Cool. Okay. Sorry, I
thought you can hear it snap, which is really...
Yes.
Yeah, you could. Yeah.
So, had you finished, Reese, by the way?
I just had a little bit more to say.
Well, carry on, please.
I mentioned the Doctor's character and how he starts to change a little bit here, but I also, when I used to watch, you know, An Unearthly Child and stuff like that, I used to just think that the characters were quite token characters, if that makes sense. Here is the Doctor, he's a bit grumpy. Here's the older female companion, here's the younger female companion, and here's Ian, he's a teacher. Whereas now I see, no, Ian is a great, you know, he's the hero of the show for several episodes.
Stories.
And
take
episodes.
No notice of him, Reese.
Episodes, Kirby. You can't deny that. Several episodes. And, you know, Susan has got this wonder and joy at seeing, you know, the flowers that they might look a bit dodgy to us, but, you know, the way she played that was there was genuine joy and happiness at seeing a flower that's living as opposed to all the grey, dead, stone-like trees around them. And then Barbara's got this part of her that would like to go home, and there was a nice little monologue about how she feels like she's an unwilling adventurer and she'd rather just go home, and she doesn't think she's as strong as Ian. And Ian says that it'll be all right. He'll get the Doctor to take them home. And I like scenes like that. And it fleshed out the characters more for me.
Yeah,
so
this story was very really much a character development story for all the characters in it. It was very well done for that sake, that, you know, you knew the characters, each one, to a certain degree. You know, it was difficult picking up some of the Thal names throughout the story.
No, it wasn't.
Shush, Kirby. If I say it was...
It was.
Yeah, don't all watch it was. Times yeah, with different subtitles.
Affirmative,
text,
master.
Thank you. Yeah, sorry, Reese, carry on.
Well, that's basically it. I loved it. I thought it was great character development. And, yeah, you can mock some of the stuff in it, but that's just because of TV from the time and the budget they had, and I really like it.
Thank you. Right. Was that the first one I've done? I've lost track where I was now. Who other than Reese has done it? Oh, it was me, wasn't it? Kirby, what do you think?
Wow.
Thank you. What do you think of the story, though?
Wait, that could be either way. Wow, that was terrible, or wow, that was so good.
Wow, that was absolutely fantastic. I said, I've seen the Cushing movie, but this was the first time I'd seen more than the first episode of this. I don't know how many times, probably three or four times, I've started to watch the Daleks and stopped after the first episode, probably late at night or whatever, and did not continue. So this was the first time I'd gone through and watched the whole thing and just really, really enjoyed it. There's the silly stuff and the... What was that?
It's my phone. Never
mind. Those things don't bother me because that's the way that television was made. I mean, I'll take screenshots and put of the broken off polystyrene, but that's just fun. That's not meant to poke It's not meant to make it seem bad. It's just kind of the way that they... I'm still amazed at the way they made these things by rehearsing all week and then doing it basically live.
He's having a drink now.
Somebody's having a glass of wine.
Who's that?
Not me.
It's an extremely large glass of sherry.
All right.
Just seeing the Daleks in their very first story and knowing how this is going to become iconic. And just the story was so great. The characters were great. The Daleks were great. You can see why it's still going on 51 years later. The show would not be on if it weren't for this story.
And
they tried, because of Terry Nation's wanting to control his creations, there were attempts later to try and make Dalek replacements, but they never worked. It's just really good. Now, Masta, you went so fast through that last episode that I wanted to point out some strange things. Publicity photographs are out there showing Carol Ann Ford in her schoolgirl outfit in the Dalek control room during the final rumble, which is odd because that's not what she was wearing there.
Okay.
But then somehow she changes very quickly, and in that final scene, she's in the schoolgirl outfit again, which is strange.
Thank you. Okay.
You're welcome.
Debbie, what did you think?
Loved it. Iconic is a word that I wrote down several times when I was writing.
Rub one
notes.
Of them out and make it a little less conspicuous.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, it's iconic. But I just
go over the top there.
I just found it. It was so good to watch it because I watched it a long time ago, and it was great to come back to it, having watched the development of Doctor Who, and knowing that this story was probably the clincher, the one that went yes, and all fans just went, this is wonderful, because you've established your characters and now you're growing them. To watch the Doctor go from being childish and taking the
Doctor Who?
No, the thing out of the liquids.
The fluid link.
All right. Taking it out because he wants to go and have a look at the city to the end where he's basically wants to lead the Thals, and then he's pleading with the Daleks. You can see why his absolute hate for them.
Oh dear, Debbie, you've gone all funny.
It's
like a remix.
Oh dear.
See what happens when you don't sit next to me while doing podcasts?
Yes, well, I'm sorry, but I couldn't afford a sitter.
Bigger bum?
No, it's the microphone here.
I might go back to just using the normal microphone at this rate.
Yeah.
Are you dissing my microphone?
No, I love it.
Yes.
No, you're dissing my microphone. Sorry. It's a really good microphone, that, apart from the bit where it goes a bit cyber.
It's a bit psycho, isn't it? I really loved this. I enjoyed it. I thought they, if you can hear me properly, it was padded a little bit to the swamp and going through the tunnels, but it was all part and parcel of the character developments and also trying to breathe a little more character into the Thals, the different attitudes they had towards this venture that was pretty much suicidal as far as they were concerned. So it was, I really enjoyed it. It was of its time, but really good. It really warmed my heart as a Doctor Who fan. It really was just like, this is great. This is an amazing story. That's it.
Brilliant. Stand by, everybody. hang on. I haven't. This deserves some sort of big build up. It's Mary.
We're all echoing.
Yeah, we're all echoing.
I'm going to disappoint you then. because I really enjoyed this. Yes.
There you go.
Now, I watch it at one episode at a time, you know, like on different days, so that I can
get the
feel.
All at the same time and multiple. Never mind.
Yes, you know, you yourself out doing that.
Yes. Because I want to get a feel of, you know, how
I
the
bet you
is.
Do, but what about the Doctor Who episode?
Ba-dum-ching. Anyway, so taking it one at a time, I did not have that sense of things dragging out, I think, as you do when you watch one right after another. And I read an essay that had some very interesting things to say about what was going on at this time. Kirby, you brought up how the cast the assassination of Kennedy while they were filming this. Well, another thing that was going on was that this is when they were coming to that deciding point, the producers and BBC and all that, as to whether they even wanted to continue the show. So it was hanging over their heads that the show may be canceled after this particular story is told. So their futures were uncertain. So they were depressed over two things while they were filming this. So it really shows, you know, the what good actors they were that they got through it anyway. And the creativity that was still shown and the direction that was still dynamic and all that, in spite of the fact that this may be their last hurrah. And another thing is that the people of the time, there was no pattern set with the Doctor Who episodes. You know, you eventually got into the pattern where most Doctor Who stories were told in four episodes, but the people at home didn't know that yet. So when in episode four, it looked like, you know, yay, you know, we're free, we can go home and everything's great. And, you know, so it looked like everything was wrapping up until the discovery that, wait a minute, we need that fluid link. Yeah. We've got to go back into the city. Yeah, you know, it was like,
Ian, you were so clumsy, you lost it.
I guess there was a huge audience reaction to that. People were very upset because they thought the story was over with. But it wasn't. That there was more to go. So
why do you have to put a dramatic cliffhanger in there where they have to go back?
Yeah. So it had a huge impact at the time when they knew they had to go back. So that was interesting to know, you know, in the early days, you know, how the show, you know, was yet evolving. And there was the time when the Doctor was realizing that the static electricity was running things. And while Susan was all for, you know, let's break in, let's go get in there. And he's like, no, we can solve everything right here. You know, I'm very smart and I can figure this out. It's like, ooh, we're starting to see the evolution of the Doctor as we know him. Yeah. You know, let's use our brains and figure this out because I'm very smart. And to Reese's point of Ian being so heroic.
Ian Kirk.
I'm sorry, what?
Ian Kirk.
Not that one.
Oh, sorry.
Chesterfield. I mean, Chesterton.
Chesterman.
Yeah, Chesterfield. Yeah, I like his little, you know, you never get my name right. But anyway, to Reese's point, I said last time that when the show was first written, the most developed character was Ian at the time. They wanted him to be a hero. So, and I think we'll see this play out over more of the episodes where he continues to be, you know, the school teacher hero. And the Doctor was the least developed character when they started the show. So it's kind of fun to see him evolving as we go. So that's my say, and I really enjoyed it.
Brief.
See, you know
I'm sorry. Am I letting you down?
I'm just.
What we do is we show her a non-12th Doctor story, and she enjoys it.
All right, Adam, just for you. This was crap.
No. I'm glad you like it.
Episode 5 was crap. They were in the swamp. Yeah.
No, I'm glad you like it, and really you should like it because it is brilliant. But there's some other programs, obviously, I thought were brilliant, and you didn't like them at all. So I'm rather pleased you liked it. I'm just but surprised, pleasantly surprised. Mm-hmm. I can retire now.
Wait till next week.
Why? Have you seen next week's episode?
I have.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I've seen it before.
Didn't we do this one before?
I haven't watched. I think we have done this one before.
Okay. Well, we'll look into that one. So it's time for some feedback. I've got to try and get the volume right so it doesn't wake up the family and that you can hear it. So this is going to be a bit tricky. Right, 16 is obviously too quiet for you, so let's try it on 22. The first bit of feedback was from Kirby Bartlett Sloan, who's talking about Marco Polo. And we're not going to do that yet because Marco Polo's in a couple of weeks' time. What?
That.
Can you hear yourself?
Yes.
Yeah. Good, right. So we'll avoid that one and we'll move on to
that
this.
That was not really...
I know it wasn't.
Feedback.
It's called comedy, Kirby. We've got this bit of feedback.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast, this is Ian Kirk. The Daleks by Terry Nation. The Daleks are the most popular creatures in Doctor Who. They were very popular at the time, and there was a lot of Dalek merchandise produced. The show would occasionally introduce foes such as the War Machines and the Quarks, but none of them achieved much popularity.
I was referring to those.
I think the popularity of the Daleks was more due to the design by Ray Cusick than to the writing skills of Terry Nation.
A bit of both here, eh?
TARDIS Wikia says that these Daleks must be a separate branch from the main Daleks.
Why?
Since they're limited to one city, and are all killed in the end.
Hmm.
They do remind me of the Morlocks, evil creatures who preyed on the peaceful Eloi in H.G. Wells' The Time Machine. This story is broadcast about 19 years after the end of World War II, and seems to be heavily influenced by it. The Daleks' determination that only they should survive. The idea that pacifism should be rejected. The problems of radiation from nuclear weapons.
Yeah.
Does anyone else think the relationship between the intelligent old Doctor and the strong young Chesterton is like Captain Picard and Riker in Star Trek?
No.
Susan explains how complicated the TARDIS lock is, but we see no sign of that when she returns to the TARDIS. The Doctor traps him on the planet by taking the fluid link with him. He would have been more cunning if he had taken some useless item instead. This is the first time we hear the line, "These corridors all look the same." This is the first time Barbara meets someone who falls for her. Shows how alien they are. Just like the previous story with the cavemen, the Doctor changes the society and then off he goes to let them sort it out themselves.
Yeah, that's typical Doctor.
Ian points out that it is strange that despite the wind, the trees do not move. He does not mention Barbara's hair. Bye for now.
Talking of the wind.
That's so true. Oh, thank you.
Yes, Kirby.
Well, as I already pointed out on Facebook when he posted the script for that, that's not quite the correct quote. Barbara actually says, "I have some experience in these corridors. They all look alike."
Okay.
Instead of "these corridors all look the same."
Right.
I have some experience with this. The two lines sound alike. It's fine.
No, they don't. The words are completely different. Speaking of the time machine, did everyone see that Rod Taylor died?
Yes.
Yes.
No, I didn't.
Bring it down, Kirby. Bring it down.
Anyway, they were talking about wind, weren't they? Well, Ian was. Pardon me. Yeah, that one came out spontaneously because I just coughed.
Right down, Adam.
It's called comedy. Anyway.
No, it isn't. It's called gross.
No, uncouthness is what it
is. Is there any more feedback?
Yes, there is. If you lot to shut up and let Andy and Dawn possibly talk. I've got a glass of sherry.
Well, good afternoon, 20 Megabytes. It's Andy and here. It's 4:19 on Sunday afternoon. I'm sitting here with a bottle of Volvic mineral water. 26 days to go.
Yeah.
Hey ho. The Daleks. 7 episodes. We did one or 7 episodes very quickly together. But I managed it. Now, what's interesting about this is the overall theme of it. And this is the theme of warfare and pacifism, which, given this was broadcast in 1963, when the Second World War was less than 20 years in the past, it would have been very recent, and a lot of themes were very relevant to what's going on now. So it's almost like a social history, this piece. Do you fight for something, for somebody else? Do you fight for yourself? What happens if you don't fight? So it's, I think for a lot of people, this would have brought home, is war a just war? Is it a good war? Ian was saying that, could he ask someone to die for himself? And I think this is part of the war itself, the Second World War, that people going out to war to fight for cause.
Nothing
that,
to do with me.
At the end of it, I'm not trying to go moral in this relation. Perhaps, it did justify itself. At the beginning, could people see that? I mean, defeating Nazism and Hitler was paramount importance. But could that be seen at the beginning? But I think that's a common theme. And also, there's a real point, you see, we're not going to hear. The fact the Lee Lothars went in and said, we're going unarmed.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Charlie Hebdo, Paris, they weren't armed. There's a cartoon that really brings it home that was written, was done on the weekend, which was a gunman. And somebody with a pencil on it, he drew first. And I think it's doubly pointed, doubly ironic that we had to watch this episode, this story, at this time. You know, the horrific incidents of Paris. However, let's get back to the story. Now, it certainly was an episode that caught the grapple's attention because, although Sidney Newman hated the idea of bug-eyed monsters, I mean, look at it. It was just brilliant to me. It really was, because you've got something that's so alien, you can't conceive it. You've got nothing to, no benchmark to judge it against as to how good these were and what they were like. So, you know, for Barbara and Susan and Ian and the Doctor, something completely new to them, because it's probably the first time the Doctor had seen them. So it's, how do you judge what an alien is like? And you've got the supposedly totally mutated Thals, who of course weren't. In fact, you know, as the Doctor said, they've gone almost all the way, gone full circle to almost pure beings, whereas the Daleks had gone the other way and decided to preserve themselves as they were, but to save their form. So you've got an interesting, you know, interesting moral dilemma there, and some interesting ethical discussions there. You know, what is pure? What, you know, what do you do in this case? Do you just go with what you got, or do you try and make something of it? However, the overall story, yeah, you know, they killed the Daleks, but, well, obviously we know they didn't kill the Daleks off. Again, one of the last things, you know, when the Thal says, there should have been another way. You know, what a waste. I mean, this is something that has come back. We've had this several times, haven't we? And again, it comes back to the point I made at the very beginning. It's the, not the futility of warfare, because that's wrong, because I do believe there are times when there's just war. But it's war. War is not the means to an end. War is just the means to getting to an end. That probably sounds like semantic again, but there you go. Anyway, let's talk about the story itself and the acting. We obviously had the Doctor coming in. We had, we had Chesterfield. We had a Chesterman, which, now, interesting, did William Russell really pick that up himself and correct it? Was that scripted? Or, you know, were they sort of thinking, well, Willie Hartnell's going to make the occasional cock-up, let's write it in the script, or did he pick it up? And I'm almost certain at the end, I heard him call him Cheltenham. Did anyone else pick up that? I think it was in the last episode, when they were in the control room. Now, let's go to the very end of it, the last episode, so watch that about half an hour ago, forward to Newman's Corner. And, the battle scene with the Daleks. I mean, it was quite comedic, wasn't it? The guy's actually riding a Dalek like he was a Dodge car. You didn't quite have the special effects of the killing the Daleks you got now, because obviously special effects then weren't as advanced as we have them now.
What?
But they did seem to be able to get rid of the Daleks quite quickly. I know they demagnetised the floor, and there's a Doctor and holding a U-bin magnet. I mean, God, I remember those when I was a kid. I think my granddad had one, he used to keep pins on it. So, yes. Falling in love with Barbara, one of the Thals, you know, scary hair notwithstanding. Yes, I'm not quite sure I'd do that. I mean, But the other thing was into the females, for the female Thals. Anyone else think they looked a bit like bunny girls? I mean, look at those outfits. And there was one in the episode 3 or 4, the first time we saw one, and she leant forward and, by God, there was quite a bit of boobage on display there, wasn't there? You know, this is 1963. Good grief, you know, sex hadn't been invented then, had it? Because I think we before, the Women's League Chinese Lovers, 60, wasn't it, I think, later, but there or thereabouts. But, I certainly sort of did a rather quick double take. First time I seen it on DVD to see it more clearly. But, Susan. Susan's character is definitely developing, and she looks 15. Is she really 15? Because, of course, you know, the Doctor, okay, no, that's 50, 60, but he's going to be 90 years old. So how old really was Susan? It's about the Hobbits who sort of don't mature until they get into the 30s. I mean, you know, is it perhaps 50s for your Time Lord, Time Lady? Because presumably Susan is a Time Lady. One would assume so. And Ian. Ian shows how, yeah, he's overcome his doubts fairly quickly about the Doctor, that's hard is. He wants to take control. I mean, you know, he's trying to force the Doctor to fly away. Yeah, you and whose army? The Doctor turned around and said, no, I ain't going nowhere. Then you ain't going nowhere, are you? You can't really force him to, because he's that sort of character. But this showed that Ian Chesterton as being quite a dominant character. He is capable of taking the lead. And not quite the macho man. He's not really the build with, has he? I mean, when he's provoking the fight, then gets punched in the jaw and just go down rather quickly. A bit of a glass jaw there. But all in all, you know, this tweet, developing the characters, worked very well, and also bringing in something that's going to be an icon of British televisual history, isn't it? So from that point of view, absolutely superb. So anyway, that's another 6 minutes we've been ruffling on for. So I will now have a bit more of my lovely water.
Water?
And think about wine and stuff like that. And,
for
what
him.
Are you telling
him?
He's doing really yes. well. He's doing
well.
Well
done.
He is.
That was Andy Nunny, everybody.
Who was heavy breathing?
Nobody. It's something strange going on with the audio. But
like
I'll have to say...
someone was hacking in and heavy breathing on us.
Just like, be quiet. Just like Peter Capaldi's first story, that was very deep throat.
Maybe you could provide us with a transcript.
Kirby.
Is this the... Let's see how
your
stupid my voice can sound section of the show.
Excuse me? What?
You your sound, volume has gone way up.
Sound like you're speaking through comb and paper.
No need to shout. Especially
I've done nothing.
Pardon?
Ooh.
What did he say, everybody?
I've done nothing.
I've done like buzz, buzz, buzz.
Yes, reboot Skype.
Buzz, buzz, buzzing.
Reboot.
Should I reset Skype?
Yes, it's...
I think so, yes.
Yeah, that would be
like
a good idea, and then we can talk about you for a bit. Just Skype. Just Skype.
I'd like to go to the restroom.
Oh, well, just reboot Skype while you go to the restroom.
Oh, he could hear.
Pardon?
Can't hear you.
He doesn't listen, does he? I said to reboot Skype while he goes, oh, he's gone. Right then. Right then, what should
we
say about
him? Was it him heavy breathing the whole time then?
Could have been.
It might have been.
Yeah.
His mic got turned up, yeah. It might have just been normal breathing. It just sounded really loud.
Sorry, Andy.
Yes. Yeah, it did have some sort of strange implication, didn't it?
It was really funny. Even my cats were all looking at the what the hell is going on?
What are you listening to, Mummy?
Oh, well, that's a bit of news. Right, then. Doctor Who has made the shortlist for the National Television Awards. It's been nominated for Best Drama in the final round of the 2015 awards, which are later
best
on this month. The show is up against fellow Cardiff production rival in Sherlock, as well as Yaunton Snorri.
Sherlock will probably beat this last season, unfortunately.
Yaunton Snorri. It depends on the fandom, because it's the people that it's the public that vote for this.
It's a fandom, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Snorton Yawny, I think, you know, hopefully it won't. We already beat Snorton Yawny in the previous year, didn't we? Last year, in fact. And I say we as if we're all Doctor Who, you know, is our award.
Oh,
yeah.
But we are, yes, there you go, we are.
And I'll tell you what, Cilla Black biopic Cilla, which was Sheridan Smith, who has Doctor Who connections. In Big Finish. She was superb in that, and I must admit that was really, really good. But still hope Doctor Who wins. What else we got here? The Last Christmas chart position and iPlayer requests. It finished 6th most watched programme on British television for the day.
Excellent.
Thank you. Jenna Coleman is on the cover of BBC Doctor Who magazine. That's BBC Doctor Who magazine. It is, in fact, Doctor Who magazine, but just has a BBC logo on the front of it. And she's got an interview, and it says, Clara's heart lies with the Doctor. She can't give him up. I hope that doesn't mean, as in, she fancies him, etc., etc., but just...
No, not anymore.
No, I hope not.
You see, he regenerated.
He wouldn't stand it.
It's friendship. I think they're going more for the Donna thing with her now. Yeah.
Hopefully. Last Christmas tops Space. Space have reported that the last Christmas special Last Christmas. That's a mouthful, isn't it? Christmas special Last Christmas. Not only ranked as the channel's most popular show over Christmas, but also the highest ranked programme on the channel so far this broadcast year. Last Christmas chart.
Yay!
Boo.
May I make some comments about Andy's feedback now that I can be heard?
No, because I've got to finish doing this bit of chart placing. Final figures now confirmed that Doctor Who Last Christmas finished 7th most watched programme on British TV for the week. Let's see what came above it. Coronation Street, EastEnders, Miranda, which was brilliant, by the way, Debbie, if you didn't get to see it. Strictly Come Dancing, Call the Midwife, which was brilliant, Debbie, if you didn't get to see it. And Mrs. Brown's Boys, which was brilliant,
Miranda,
Debbie, if you didn't get to see it.
Over Christmas other than Doctor Who.
Therefore, you need to try and get hold of Mrs. Brown's Boys, Call the Midwife, shut up. Strictly Come Dancing. That was all right for a second. Miranda, and that's about it, because EastEnders and Coronation Street were...
Got a lot of Christmas TV to catch up on.
And only just above Her Majesty's Christmas Message. So we're better than the Queen. I mean, Doctor Who is better than the Queen, apparently.
Which one?
What?
John Barrowman?
and 50 years of Doctor Who in Australia. Monday marks the 50th anniversary of the first screening of Doctor Who in Australia. Kirby, what do you want to say? You forgot.
Andy was Andy was commenting about Susan's age, but and Carol Ford at the time was 23, but she actually had a daughter at that point, and they actually brought her daughter onto the set and stuck her inside of a Dalek at one point.
Was that a daughter out of wedlock or not?
I have no idea how.
Because
should I
at
know?
The time, if you had a child out of wedlock, you'd have to give it up for adoption.
You don't know all the information. Good grief.
Thank you, Reese.
If you say anything, you must have all backup questions anticipated.
Exactly.
It's now time this week. Like be quiet. Day. It's now time for this week's edition of. You won't get this one.
Is it?
That's me knocking a remote control, so don't get alarmed.
I'm not going to get this one.
Good.
It's too long.
It's too long. That's what she said.
I can't sort of count how many times that's been said this episode.
Well, this is very awkward for me because I've got nowhere to stick my stuff. Right, so first question goes to Kirby.
Master.
And that is, what's the title of episode one?
Dead Planet.
Was that...
The Dead Planet.
Thank you. I didn't quite hear it because somebody laughed over you. Right. Mary.
Yes.
How did the Doctor describe the jungle? One word.
Dead?
Oh, wait a minute. I think...
Go on in, Debbie.
Was it petrified?
Yes, it was.
At first it was afraid, it was petrified.
Right, Debbie. Debbie.
Yeah, sorry.
What was unusual about the dead alien found by Barbara?
I know.
Kirby knows.
It's made of metal.
That is the correct answer.
Yes, right. That was.
Reese.
Adam.
What does Ian ask Barbara to believe?
Believe that they will get back to
it
Earth.
Is essentially correct, yes. Well, it is right. Now, when you said to Earth bit, but they, yes, all right, this. But when you said, I believe, I was like, I believe in life after Earth. Right, Kirby. What type of hat did the Doctor carry? This is in episode two. What type of hat did the Doctor carry?
I know.
Go on in, Mary. As a what? Oh, came.
Yeah.
No I idea. Hang on. This is for Kirby. Mary?
It's a Panama.
It's exactly the right answer.
Yay.
Yeah,
cool.
I thought
it was odd.
Yes. He does.
If you find it and... I was going to deduct a point as a pedantry. Unnecessary pedantry, right then. And he's so hacked off that he managed to miss something like that. Right then, Mary, this is your question.
You say this is an episode two?
Or one, whatever. Mary, this is your question.
Mm-hmm.
He has no head in episode two.
Be quiet. Mary, what was Susan drawing while Barbara had a heart-to-heart with her in the TARDIS?
Oh, I remember her doing it. Don't remember.
It was a this. And Debbie says?
It was the flower.
Is the correct
flower. The flower,
answer.
Yes.
Reese.
Yes.
What was Barbara's first symptom of radiation sickness?
Was it a headache?
Yes, it was a Kirby, as we always you know.
No, ooh, harsh.
Yeah.
I think it's about time for a score update. Right, in last place with 1 point is Mary. Yeah. In third place with 2 points it's Kirby, who's still looking to prove that there was or wasn't a Panama hat in episode one or two of this story. And in joint first with 4 points each it's Debbie and Reese.
Ooh.
Hopefully Kirby's back from perusing
the
video.
Pages.
I'm giving up on the hat.
I should hope so too. I suppose I've got to do a screenshot of it.
When we finish William Hartnell's era, I'm thinking of publishing my notes.
You're going to abolish your notes, are you?
I'm going to publish my notes.
Oh, publish them. Yeah, yeah. I'm going to have to publish all the questions. Right, Kirby.
I've given up looking for the hat.
Kirby.
Master.
What did Barbara ask for from the food machine?
Oh, yeah.
Bacon and eggs.
Correct. Right. Mary.
Yes.
What number was the fluid link on the fault locator? It was a letter and a number, actually, but I called it a number.
How come I keep getting the hard ones?
That's what she said, but I'd like to know the answer. There will be the
answer. I know, and I
Who said I know? It was Reese said I know first, I believe. Was it you, Reese?
No, I didn't.
It was me.
Oh, go on then, Debbie. Go on, Debbie.
K7.
Yes, it was also a name of a robot, was it not?
Master. Yes, it's also the name of the space station from The Trouble with Tribbles.
Thank you. Trouble with Tribbles was made after this story.
Yes.
All right.
Did they rip them off?
I've lost where I was. Whose question was that originally now? Was that yours, Mary? Shut up. Was that your question, Mary?
It was my question, right. Yes.
This, therefore, is Debbie's question.
Yes.
When did the doctor plan to go to the city? What time of day?
I know.
First thing.
I'll give you a point for that. Sorry. Go on, Kirby.
Well, I was going to say, give it to her. It's in the morning. First light in the morning, I guess.
Well, I'll give you a point for the word light, which is what I was actually looking for in the script. It was first light. Right then. Reese.
Yes.
What did Susan think might happen to the metal box left outside the TARDIS in the morning?
I can't remember.
That's a bit of a shame. Anybody?
It is.
Might not be there.
Is the good guess, but not right. The answer is it might go off.
Oh, yes.
Smelly. What, you mean it's going to spoil?
Well, that's what she said in the script, so it could mean anything, couldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Right, is this then, that was Reese's question, wasn't it?
Yes.
So this is therefore Kirby's question. When Ian, Susan and the Doctor met up again, how much time did Ian give Barbara before they went to go and look for her?
I don't know.
That's a bit of a shame.
I remember.
Go on then, Mary.
Is it 10 minutes?
No, it wasn't. No. Anybody? One last go, somebody?
5 hours.
For goodness. No, it was 2 minutes. You didn't get that one.
2 minutes?
Mm. Debbie.
That's not long.
Yes?
Who composed the incidental music?
Master.
No, it wasn't Master. You're not Debbie.
No,
Debbie.
I disagree with the two-minute thing, and I'm going to find
Tristram Carey.
See, that gave her enough time to look it up on Wikipedia, so well done, Kirby.
No, it's written down on this page here.
Reese.
Well done.
Adam.
What was the first piece of scientific equipment Ian finds in the city?
I can't remember that either.
That's a bit of a shame. Anybody?
I don't know. I'm looking up how many
well,
minutes.
Well, pay attention.
Yeah, because I'm fairly certain it's 10 minutes.
It's 10 minutes. I know it's 10 minutes.
It is 10.
According to my notes, it's 2. I haven't got time to look
that. That's not what they
that
said.
That doesn't make it right.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
2 minutes. So I think I'm going to stick with 2 minutes on that one. Where do I get up to? Like a count of first words after so the question was, what was the first piece of scientific equipment Ian finds in the city? You all didn't know and can't be bothered to concentrate, so the answer is you didn't get that one. Geiger counter.
Right. That was the second machine.
It was the first machine, thank you very
much.
He
found something else.
No, he went into the room and the first thing they found was that recognised, oh, shut up. It's a Geiger counter. The first thing I mentioned was, stop being awkward.
I said Geiger counter, but it was Susan that found it.
They didn't mention the first machine. They didn't even give it a name, did they? The first.
They said, they went, it was an advanced civilised society. But did they name it? Found the clicking noise.
Yeah. Did they say what the machine was called? No, they did say what the Geiger counter was called.
Other than the Geiger counter.
Just because it didn't have a name.
I wouldn't put down the answer, or that machine they didn't know the name of. Well, your question
was that
originally?
They would need more than 2 minutes to explore the corridors and meet up again.
Exactly.
It was 2 minutes. I've lost where I was.
10 minutes.
I think it was 10 minutes.
It was 2.
Yes, you're separate. Outvoted. Back in 10 minutes. There you go. It's in my notes. Separate. Back in 10 minutes.
Thank you.
Down to open door.
Two.
There you go.
Two.
Point for Mary.
2.
There you go.
All right, 10. Hang on. Whose question was the Geiger counter one?
Mine.
I don't know, but I've found that. That's definitely what they said.
Hello?
I don't know whose question it was.
Who originally had the Geiger counter question? I'm going to deduct points from a whole lot of you now for being very, very naughty. Right, Kirby Kirby didn't say anything. He keeps his point. Mary gets a point deducted. She goes down to zero. Debbie goes down to five. 3 points deducted. And Reese goes down to three. Right, so that's that'll teach you for really sidetracking my...
For
completely distracting me and make me lose where I was.
That happens every week.
No, but this is I've completely lost throat because nobody's owning up to actually owning that question about the Geiger counter.
We're not happy.
I can't remember because we were concentrating on what was important.
Yeah, what's wrong? 2 minutes versus 10 minutes. Adam, what was the question
Shush.
Before?
One, two, three, four. One, two, three, four.
What was the
one,
question
two,
before
three,
it?
Four. I'm concentrating. One, two. This must be Debbie's then. Debbie's question because that must have been Mary's, according to my.
The Geiger counter wasn't mine.
Well, who had the Tristan Carey? That was Debbie. That was Reese's question then. Therefore, this is Kirby's question.
Right.
The one coming up. Oh, Lord, where was I? Kirby's question. Oh, yeah, here we go. Kirby, are you still there?
You took points off me. I protest.
Kirby.
Me too.
Kirby.
Kirby?
Kirby's gone quiet.
Makes a change, doesn't it?
Kirby.
No, he's obviously.
Do you believe?
He's gone from being really, really loud to really, really quiet.
What's it all about, Kirby?
Kirby.
This is slick, isn't it?
Uh-oh. Well, I think his microphone problems finally did him in.
Oh, no.
Oh, dear.
He's still on here, so
yeah,
Kirby.
He's probably still connected, and he probably can
hear
us.
Switch your mute off.
I'm here. Okay.
Well, what are you playing at?
Whoa. Where were you?
I was right here and saying, hi, I'm here.
We thought that. It was your microphone.
Yeah, apparently, I have an occasional microphone issue.
Occasional?
Anyway, I just... Masta?
Yes.
Masta?
Yes.
I just posted in the same thread as Reese in the picture of the Panama hat, the subtitle with the 10 minutes.
Yeah, I'm sure everybody in the whole group will be totally fascinated by that random post.
They will be.
Right, I'll give Mary the point that you want me to give her. She's now back up to one. Right. Right, Kirby.
Back up to one. I should have at least two.
Well, you would have had two if you hadn't been naughty and maybe been one of ganging up on me. Right then.
There was no naughty. There was correcting you.
I see. Standing up for what is right gets you punished. Is that what it is?
Yes.
Well, that's normal, isn't it?
When it puts me off.
Yeah.
When it puts me off, yes. Right, where was I?
You remind me of my mom.
Kirby's question.
Master?
What was the first word ever uttered by a Dalek in Doctor Who? No, it wasn't that.
Move?
I thought you were going to say moo for a minute then. It's not going to be a cow. Move. No, it wasn't move. Anybody else? Mm-mm. Quite an important word, really, considering it was a Dalek that said it.
Exterminate?
Exterminate. I didn't say exterminate until the episode 3 of the next Dalek story. No, it was you. As in, you will move ahead of us and follow my directions, which was my quote, funny enough.
Oh, my.
Okay, all right.
That's right. Right, so, whose question was that? Kirby's question.
That was Kirby's.
Right. Now we're starting to move back into the realms of where I was before. Right, Mary. Mary, what was the radiation count 200 days previous?
Oh, yes. I know that.
200 days previous.
Yes, what was the rate?
Yes.
Go on, Mary.
Don't know.
Oh, that's a bit of a letdown. Go on then, Debbie.
It was 93.
It was 93.
Whoa. I guess those notes are doing her some good.
Yes, they are. Yeah. Until she puts me off and gets points deducted. Right, Debbie.
Defending. It's called defending.
Yes.
Debbie.
She was right.
Debbie.
Yes?
What race did the Daleks think the Doctor was?
A foal.
Is... Right, Reese.
Yes.
How long ago were there two races on the planet?
I can't remember.
That's not really good.
I know.
Oh, Mary knows. Go on, Mary.
500 years.
is the correct answer.
And I will walk 500 miles.
I will wait 500 years to be the Daleks who exterminated
you. I'm going to have to redo this thing because I've run out of space. All right, so that's K for Kirby, M for Mary, D for Debbie, R for Reese. That's a clever bit of working out, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Oh, God, I've drawn the line wonky.
Is he just giving us random points now?
No, I'm writing the points now on this piece of paper because I run out of space because I had to do those, so many corrections for deducting points, etc., that I run out of space. There's no point in doing the Pepsi ad to me. That's a Pepsi ad from the 70s. Right. The scores, therefore... I wish this sherry's going straight to my head. In last place with 2 points. Actually, no, that's wrong. Sorry, it's not 2 points. In last place with 3 points, it's Reese. In third place with 4 points, it's Mary. In second place, that's an old word from the podcast I didn't have used for a while since I last drunk sherry on the show. That's Kirby with 5. And in the lead with 10 points, and yes, I've given everybody their points back because I'm generous that way.
That's what this is about. Debbie. Sherry he's drinking.
Puts him in a bad mood.
It's right. Kirby's go.
He's losing focus.
Oh, Kirby.
Yeah.
Blame it. What? Can you get out of the room next door, come into this room, and then speak to us? There's a problem if you can take your hand off the microphone.
Hang on.
Oh,
I'm having microphone issues.
No, are you? No. Well, there you go.
Okay.
Hey. All he's doing, everybody, he's like fiddling around with it for comedy. He thinks he's going to get lots of laughs at the other end thing. So what he's going to do, he walks in the other room, he messes around, he pulls cables out, he turns volumes up, then he puts his hand over the blimmin' thing. I'm not talking about a microphone, by the way.
I had actually said, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, you did say, can you hear me? Yes.
I had actually said... Uh-oh. I knew the 500 years thing before Mary, but my microphone had gone dead.
Yes. Unfortunately, I didn't hear you.
I kept saying, can you hear me?
Sure. Are you saying that you're at a bit of a disadvantage?
Yeah, we believe you.
I'm not saying anything.
Okay, right then. So was that the last question about the how long? Right, so the next question is for Kirby. Kirby!
I thought I just answered one.
Have you? What did you answer then?
What was the last question?
Last question was, how long were there two races on the planet? Which I believe was Reese's question.
Oh, okay. Master.
This is your question. What bill fluff did Hartnell use instead of saying radiation files?
What
bill fluff, which is a cock-up by William Hartnell, it's a well-known phrase in Doctor Who, bill fluff, did Hartnell use instead of saying radiation files?
I know.
Oh, Reese knows.
Okay, so it's Reese.
Go on, Reese.
Radiation gloves.
It's correct. You're going to get an extra point for that because that was a brilliant answer and well observed.
Yes.
Right. Next question goes to Mary.
Yes.
How many different holes are there inside the TARDIS lock?
Oh, 21.
Well, that is the absolute spot-on answer, and everybody was poised to come in for that one, so well done.
I know, I could feel that.
I bet you could. Right, Debbie.
I want to jump in energy.
Yes. Debbie, what did the Daleks use to track Susan?
Oh, bloody
hell. I know.
Well, give her a chance. She's got 14 pages to flip.
Yeah, hang on a minute. I've probably written it down. I'm just trying to find it.
That's my old trick.
Don't want to look at cuddling the tin. Honestly.
I just don't know if you can hear me or not.
Oh, yes, we can hear you. Yes.
Was it
No,
I can't remember. It's
eventually,
gone.
We come to was it Oh, no, I can't remember. Right then. Who Debbie. Said I know?
I did.
Go on then, Kirby.
Ranger scopes.
Correct.
That's it. There you go. I've just seen it. It's always when it happens.
Right. Reese. Yep.
Adam.
Who was the first Thal that Susan met?
Oh, how do you pronounce his name?
I know.
Doesn't have to be phonetically correct.
I know.
No, I've forgotten.
Oh, so did Kirby put you off? That'll do. There's that'll do. Aladdin, yes.
Aladdin, yeah.
Aladdin.
Right, go on then. This is that for you, Reese. That's especially for you. There we go. Right, Kirby.
Because I don't have subtitles. For the longest time, I thought they were calling him Adamus or something like that. It's like, what kind of a name is that?
I heard it first as Aladdin. You know,
Aladdin.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
But aspirin.
Different things.
Right.
I waited for the credits to find out what it really was.
Kirby. Oh, Kirby.
Me?
Yes, you. Yeah, how often does it usually rain on Skaro?
Well, there's two answers.
Oh, God.
It's every 3 to 4 years in the story as...
Jesus.
As they had it.
Well, go for the one in the story,
yes. Yeah, go the one in the script. That's usually the best one to go for.
Well, I just said it.
You said the one in the script, did you?
3 to 4 years, right?
No.
No. Debbie?
It's supposed to, well, can I say that it's officially
it's
supposed to
be
every
10...
Yes, Debbie gets the points. Never mind, whatever official thing it is, it was mentioned on the screen.
Terry Nation had originally written that it was going to be every 10 years.
Thank you. Well, he didn't go out with every 10
years.
I was off by one.
It was wrong. Right, Mary.
Yes.
Why are the Thal crops ruined?
I guess from the radiation.
Not quite. Anybody?
They didn't have any magic water.
I know.
Oh, eventually Kirby knows. Yes, Alan?
It's because the same rain that we just discussed.
Yes, and it's the specific answer is?
It's 2 years overdue.
Hooray! We eventually get there.
Yay.
Who's the one who said he wasn't going to get any of this?
I'm not.
Right.
I'm not winning.
Well, Debbie?
I'm nowhere near winning.
Debbie?
I'm not. I won't know anything.
We're halfway there. Debbie? Debbie? Oh, Debbie?
Yes?
Oh, you are there, right. Why are the Thal... I've done that one. That's your fault, Kirby. Right. What is the name of the Thal leader?
Temesis.
Correctus.
Yes.
Mousesis.
That's another one I had to wait for the credits to find out what his name was.
Yeah.
Reese.
Adam.
What is the name of the Thal girl?
There's more than one.
That had lines. Shut up.
Give it to Kirby because I don't know.
He put you off again. Have you noticed? Everybody, have you noticed that Kirby puts Reese off every time?
Yes.
Go on and Kirby.
I said I know first.
Hang on. Who said I know first? Mary, who said I know first?
Wait.
I'm asking Mary because I didn't catch it.
I said I know first.
Yeah, I think Debbie said it.
There you go. Right, go on then, Debbie. Debbie, what's the answer? Debbie?
Me?
Yes, you. As Mary said, you...
Leonie.
Dione is the correct answer. Go on then, Kirby. What were you going to say?
Dione.
Yeah, that was the girl who couldn't bother to act. You know, she just sort of stood around and said her lines.
She was there to be pretty, basically.
She's the one with pipe cleaners in her hair.
Yeah, and the one who was there to be sulky and jealous.
Debbie.
Uh-oh.
Debbie.
Yeah?
Are you going to have to reboot Skype again?
You're using the cyber microphone again.
Back in a second.
It's really cool, actually. Okay. I might go and get it back off her.
It wasn't cool for us when you're going, there's nothing wrong with my microphone.
Yeah, you kept saying, yeah, nothing
but
wrong.
I didn't realise how cool it sounded.
I'm good to keep doing my review.
Exactly.
Yes, but at my end, there wasn't any issues, so that was what I was keeping on doing.
But if you wanted us to answer questions or contribute to say,
well, obviously I wasn't going to ask questions with it, was I? Right, where do I get up to before she gets... Whose go is it, anyway? Who had the question about... Dione. Who had the Dione question?
Hello.
That was me.
Yeah,
that was you, was it? Right, so therefore this... Well, shall we do a score update while we're here? Right, in last place...
Back, anyway.
I know you're back, Debbie. In last place, with 6 points, it's Mary.
Woo, holding up the bottom.
In third place, with 7 points, it's Reese. Which is also second place with 7 points, I should say. Also 7 points. Oh, for God's sake, another glass of sherry on it. Kirby, 7 points.
The sherry is telling.
I've only had a little bit of it. And in the lead with...
You sound like Annie.
14 points. Debbie. Right, so who goes this? This must be
Kirby. Wait, Kirby's. Where was I on that one?
Second, joint second with seven, if you listen. Right, this is Kirby's go.
Master.
The word extermination was mentioned by the Daleks in relation to what event? First mentioned, that is, by the way. It was mentioned later on in the story, but first mentioned. Pardon me.
Moving... When the group before who were in the cell broke the eye off...
Hooray! Eventually, if you just said they broke the camera or the eye, that would been would have got it a lot quicker, you know, got to the end of the thing. But yes, that's the correct answer. Right, Mary?
Yes?
Where did the Daleks say to the Thals that they had left... Where had the Daleks said to the Thals... Shush! Where had the Daleks said to the Thals that they had left the supplies?
In the main hall.
I'm going to give you that one.
Yeah.
It was the entrance of the main hall, but the main hall is good enough for me. Right. Debbie.
Adam, that's it.
Yes. Right. What did Barbara borrow Susan's shoes for?
To get the mud off.
Well, anybody? It was to make
the dirt.
Here we go. We'll give that to Kirby.
No, you should give it to Debbie. Yes.
I shouldn't.
Because it was Debbie. Already mud and dry.
She used the shoes to get the mud to make mud.
Yeah, to get the mud to make mud. That's not what you said. That's what I said.
Right. No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
No, it
is.
Isn't.
It is.
Give it to Debbie. I officially give my points to Debbie.
Yeah.
It was mud in the first place. It was dry.
It was dry mud that she made wet again.
Yes. Give it to
Debbie. Right, whose go is it?
Give it to Debbie.
I've lost where I was.
This is Reese's go.
Reese?
Yes, it is. Reese. We're not going to do this quiz if you're not going to get the points out correctly.
Reese.
That's right.
Reese.
Yeah, you're so much faster.
In what lift shaft did Ian get stuck inside the Dalek? Oh, forget that one. I didn't write the answer down. Right, Reese.
I know that one.
Reese, try this one. What did the Dalek cry before killing Temesis?
I want my mummy. I can't remember.
Oh, are you my mum?
Right, anybody, what did the Dalek cry before killing Temesis?
I know.
Go on then, Kirby.
Fire.
Yes.
Fire, put it out.
Kirby, this is your question.
Master.
I've got a burp coming, so if I burp spontaneously, I do apologise. I told you.
What episode did burp?
In what episode? What?
Right. What planet's number is Skaro in its system?
I know.
Give it to Mary.
Go on then, Mary.
It's the 12th.
Is the correct answer.
Yay!
Right. Mary.
Yes.
Your question.
This is odd random things I know that help me out.
This is odd random things I know as well.
What was the original name of the Daleks?
Oh, I know.
I didn't hear the beginning of the question.
What was the original name of the Daleks?
The Dolls?
Is correct.
Hey. I kept expecting them to say Caelids, but they never did.
I know. Debbie. Yeah.
Yes.
It's a different city.
What happened to the fluid link?
Pardon?
What happened to the fluid link? Because they got back, didn't they? And the doctor realised, or somebody realised they didn't have it. What had happened to the fluid link?
And the Daleks had taken it off of Ian when they first...
Well, you don't have to go down the road. The part of the answer I was looking for was the Daleks had taken it off Ian. Don't go
TMI,
down Kirby's
TMI.
Way of thinking. Right. Reese.
Adam.
What apparently is Aladdin's final word? He said, that's my final word.
I know.
Stop interrupting poor old Reese. Go on then, Reese.
I don't know. Give it
to
Kirby.
Did you go on then, Kirby?
No.
No, I said go on then.
No.
That's my final word.
Oh. Right then. So the scores then. But not very far to go, honestly. In last place, with 7 points, it's Reese. In third place with 11 points, it's Mary. In second place with 12 points, it's Kirby. And in the lead with 18 points, it's Abel. I knew you said Mary. Debbie. Right.
I give up. There's no way I can
I'll
catch
be
up
quiet.
Right. Yes, you can.
This is Kirby. Yeah, especially if Debbie interrupts you and gets loads of points deducted and it upsets me. That could work between now and the end of the show. Right. Kirby.
Master.
What?
Master.
What?
Nothing.
Oh dear!
Kirby
right,
is the ball that is sure he's not going to survive this.
Yeah, I know. Right, Kirby. What made Aladdin punch Ian?
Master.
Yes.
I'm waiting.
I just asked the blooming question. What made Aladdin punch Ian?
What made Aladdin punch Ian?
It was quite clear.
No, it wasn't.
Yes,
me.
It was.
I know.
When he was going to take Diani away. And take her to the Daleks.
Yay!
That's what I was looking for, yes. Thank you very
and
much.
And honestly, I did not hear the question.
That doesn't matter.
You got it right.
Right. Mary.
Yes.
Do you know why I went quiet? It's because you lot were talking over me.
That's right.
Yeah, we are.
Right. Mary, what is the perfect defense for the back of the city? What is the perfect defense for the back of the city?
I know.
Oh, the swamp.
That's what I'm looking for.
Okay.
And if you'd actually said a mutation-infested swamp, you would have got an extra point, but the swamp is the correct answer.
Mary,
right.
Say mutated-infested.
The mutated-infested swamp.
How about mutation-infested swamp. Right,
whatever.
Debbie.
I just wanted to get another point.
Debbie.
Yes, yes.
What is a poison to the Daleks?
The radiation medicine.
Hang on, what's happened there? There we go. Is correct.
Of course it is.
Right. Yes. Reese.
Adam.
See, I worked very hard on doing questions for this story. When Ian and Barbara meet near the swamp, how long is it until they are due to meet up with the doctor?
I know.
Ooh. You would.
Oh. Yeah, give it to Debbie.
Go on then, Debbie.
No, have a guess. Go on.
No.
I don't know.
You don't know. Go on then, Debbie.
2.5 days.
2.5 corrects. Right. Kirby.
2.5
corrects. Me? Master?
What was Elian doing when he got killed?
He's getting water.
I'll give you that because I'm feeling generous.
You mentioned radiation.
It's filling water bags in the actual
answer.
Radiation
swamp water, yeah.
Mary.
And Master, may I point out something that's been a problem since the beginning of this episode?
No.
When you say Kirby and when you say Debbie,
yeah,
they sound very, very similar.
I don't
just call
care.
Me Deb.
No. All right, where do I get up to now?
Kirby.
I'm lost. Whose question was I just about to ask?
Whoever's Why? After me.
Yeah, me.
Mary.
Mary, then.
Fine.
Mary. How long would it take to build a neutron bomb?
Oh, 23 days.
Correct.
Yay.
Yay.
Debbie.
Yes.
Not Kirby. Debbie.
No, what? From now on, it's Kirby or it's not Kirby.
What
no,
side of
Debbie
the
animal?
Shut
Debbie.
Up.
Can I just interrupt quickly? Alan
shut
just,
up.
Facebook me saying he sent something on email.
Good.
Yes.
Who did?
To the 20 megabyte crew. So hopefully.
Alan People Show.
Oh, good. Right.
Yeah.
Debbie.
Yes.
What side of the antenna did the doctor want to. Shut up! Right. Point deducted for Kirby for interrupting for a 50th time.
Oh, for God's sake.
Right. So we can get it out this time. What side of the antenna did the doctor want to get to?
Was it the east?
It was the east. Reese.
Yes.
Who wanted to turn back while in the caves?
Oh,
I know.
Oh,
he's put him off again.
I can't remember his name. Give it to Kirby.
Antidus. What?
Well, you're jumping in. Wait for me to play my jingles. Right. And I apologise, Reese. I'm going to give you 5 points because Kirby has interrupted you and put you off. So many of your questions, so I'm giving you 5 points. Right.
Whoa, what?
Well, I'm sorry, but I'm not having it. Every time you're just about to give me an answer, Kirby goes, I know, and puts you off. Sorry.
No, he said he didn't know.
Well, he would have known. Try not interrupting him and see if he can answer a question. Right. Kirby.
Probably won't happen.
Kirby.
What?
Master.
Kirby. Who wanted... Kirby, yeah, yeah, Kirby, not Debbie. Who wanted to turn back? I've done that one. That was your blooming fault. I'm going to put it up to point. Right. What did the Doctor use to short the static electricity?
I know.
His, the TARDIS key.
Yeah, he said he can always make another, didn't he?
Mm. Yes, he did, very interestingly. Right, Mary.
Yes?
Who was the second person to jump over the ledge?
Barbara.
No.
No. I know.
Who said
it was
I'm trying to remember the name.
It was Gannatus. So.
There you go. That name. There we go. It was him.
So she gets the point. I deducted. No, that was Kirby. I deducted a point off on that. Right then. Debbie.
Yes.
Debbie. Right. What did the Daleks tell the Doctor and Susan they had destroyed? Two things. And it's gone very quiet.
Was it the fluid link?
It wasn't, right. Anybody with the answer?
Don't know that one.
Didn't get that one, did you? Nope. It was the videoscope and a lift.
Oh, yes, and a lift, yeah.
Yes, right, so nobody got that one. Right, Rhys.
Adam.
What did the Daleks plan to use to bombard the planet with radiation?
Wasn't it the neutron bomb?
Oh, I know.
No, it wasn't the neutron bomb. Go on, Debbie.
Was it the ejector capsule?
It wasn't the ejector capsule, no. Anybody?
Was it radiation?
It was the nuclear reactors. It was the nuclear reactors.
Yeah, but they were going to put it through the ejector capsule.
So they were using the nuclear reactors. They were using the nuclear reactors. That's the right in the script I was looking for. In fact, what annoys me about this is you could be like, and a lot of these things took me twice as long to watch the episode because I had to rewind and make sure I was right, and that was one of them. Right.
Maybe you needed to rewind a third time on something.
Right, there's three questions left, and there are free for all.
Really simple this time,
Master.
Yes,
Master. You also, are you doing this from by using DVDs with subtitles?
When I'm yes, to a degree. Why?
Okay. Well, I'm still.
If I hear the word nuclear reactors, I'll rewind it to make
the 10 minutes.
If I hear the word nuclear reactors, I'm going to go back and rewind to make sure that I got that right. So yes, it was.
I posted a picture of it.
I don't care.
I posted it in the Skype chat too.
Right, free for all question number one. Why couldn't Antidus hold on to the rope?
Sweat.
Go on then, Reese.
His hands were all sweaty.
Reese.
I didn't say anything.
You went bong, which means you're answering the question.
That wasn't me.
All right.
That wasn't.
Well, Mary, it was. Anybody?
It wasn't anything to do with how smooth the cliff face was.
No, the answer was the rope was too smooth. The rope was too.
No, he said his hands were all sweaty. No,
I can't hold on. It's too smooth. That's the phrase he used.
The rock face. He said, try and find a hold, and it was the rock face that was too smooth.
Yes.
Well, I'm not going to give any points for that one. I'm sorry.
I'm
not going to give any points for that. Right then, next question or free for all. What level was Ian and the Thals? What were they first detected on? What level were they first detected
level
on?
Level 8.
We're going to quibble with that one being right.
It's level 8, then they moved on to level 10.
And the final question.
Yeah.
Who was the last of the TARDIS crew to enter the ship at the end of the story?
Barbara.
The song all chimed together. Right, the only one that didn't say that, well, I think it was Kirby.
She's had her hand well and truly smooched.
Right, one of them, one there. And
kissed him on the cheek.
It was just the two girls on that one, wasn't it? Right, the final score.
It was a bit hot and heavy for Doctor
Who. Yes,
it
was.
For Doctor Who? Oh, I see. You mean the Doctor Who the story, not Doctor Who the person.
Yes. Right. No, come on.
Stop confusing. All right, then. I'll do the final score.
When Barbara
then.
And Ian aren't, on each other, then I bet they she's were. All over whoever the other.
Let me do the scores, Kirby, please. You can do master.
No, this has to do with that last question.
Well, it's not going to affect the scores, so carry on.
Of course it's not going to affect the scores.
No, it isn't.
The hand smooch was scripted. The cheek smooch was not.
Ooh.
He was in there.
Yeah. That was in the info text.
Barbara was hoping for a date that night.
She clearly was. Right then, the final scores then on this week's You Won't Get This One. You won't get another one until we've had about 7 episodes to do for a long time of 50 questions. But, well, it's actually 49 because I caught one of them up. In last place with 10 points, and he should have had more if he hadn't been interrupted by Kirby, was Reese. In third place with 16 points, Mary.
Wow, second
place
many.
With, oh. He said he wasn't going to do very well, but still think 19 points is pretty good for second place. Kirby. Yeah.
I didn't do very well.
And Marty Wells, Debbie is returning with 27 points. And she still would have,
have done her proud.
Even if I'd kept it as deducted, she still would have won.
Wow. I haven't.
Just talking over the thing, June. And that was You Won't Get This One.
Yeah, and his hands were sweaty.
Yes.
Thank you, Kirby. Thank you.
Did it make a difference? No.
Yes, it did.
Well, let's say, for argument's sake, say, all right, there, Mary, there's 2 points for you. That would give you 18 points. You still finished third, so sorry.
What about the feedback?
What about the feedback?
It's full of the thing.
Well, yeah, Debbie is just about to read it, aren't you, Debbie?
Oh, God, you've sent it. Hang on, you've just literally sent it to me.
That's right.
It's just popped up as you said that.
That's what she said, but if you could read the...
Okay. The Daleks is a very bold story so early in the show's history. Pacifism, nuclear war, mutation and genocide.
Can I interrupt?
So much for the children's program nonsense people sometimes spout.
Can I interrupt?
Go.
You're supposed to be doing this in your best... Alan T. Butcher voice, and you seem to be doing it in your worst Alan T. Butcher voice.
I told you last week I haven't actually heard him.
Oh, carry on then.
And you need to sound like you might eventually become a member of Parliament.
Well, why don't you read it, Adam?
No, I want you to read it because I like listening to you when you read. In fact, I'd like one day to read me a story.
No, you could come round for Ida's bedtime.
As he goes to bed.
No, an interesting story. Carry on. Actually, I might get you to you could do my audiobook versions of my two novels, couldn't you? That'd be good. Even though it's supposed to be a male character that writes it.
If she's willing to do it for free, huh?
No, yes, of course. Of course you would. She'd do anything for me. Carry on. Sorry, Alan. Carry on. Do you want to start from the beginning?
So much children's programme nonsense people sometimes spout. This drama programme made by the drama department was always aimed to provide satisfaction to adult and child alike. The drug-pushing Thal Aladdin, Aladdin, who was so reluctant to give Ian a punch up the bracket, went on to relocate to Australia. after the events of this story, to run a dodgy factory, making cloaks, I guess, in prisoner cell Block H, and then went on to marry Nell Mangle from Neighbours. No wonder Doctor Who took off. These are my thoughts. Alan T. Butcher, said from my iPad.
Excellent. Thanks, thank you, Alan. I'm so pleased that got in just
thank
in the
you,
nick
Alan.
Of time.
I'm sorry about the giggling.
Right. that's sort of about it, apart from a couple of things I wanted to mention. One is, obviously, last week I mentioned that we are no longer to be sponsored by Lavazzi, unless they change their mind, which is possible.
It's just Who.co.uk.
But we are have a new renewed sponsorship deal with
Who.co.uk.
I think it's
the funny thing is, I know Nick never listens to the show, but
I'm going to go in and introduce myself. I'm in Ryden a couple of weeks.
Oh, don't scare him. He might change his mind. He hasn't paid me yet.
I won't scare him.
Anyway, I went. I sent him an email. Say, would you like to continue supporting and sponsoring a show? And he didn't reply. So we were in Ryde to watch a film called Into the Woods or something like that.
Was it good?
Has a few Doctor Who actors in it, I have to say. Well, if you like musicals that are virtually continuous singing. Yes.
That would be a no.
Well, it is good. I fell asleep at one point but not because I wasn't enjoying it, because I fall asleep during Doctor Who when I'm enjoying. But I just fell asleep and I got nudged in the ribs by Deb because I was in the back of the thing. Can't believe you fell asleep. But yeah, I'd say it's certainly it's quite long. But it is quite good. And obviously, James Corden's a main sort of star of it, if you ask me. He features very prominently in it. And it's got a couple of other Doctor Who actors in it. You're going to ask me which ones now, aren't you?
Yes, which ones?
Yes, which ones?
I didn't know Johnny Depp was in Doctor Who.
Ah, he's going to be in Doctor Who at some point.
And Meryl Streep? Huh?
Yeah.
No, actually, maybe it was just James
She's
Corden.
She's going to be the first female Doctor.
Maybe it was just James Corden. But it's a great cast. But what got me to get back James Corden, I was watching him in that SEO Trot film with Judi Dench. Judi Dench indeed. Judi. A lot of sherry. Yes, which I quite enjoyed, and everybody slated it, saying it was too sweet and nice. He was the narrator type thing in that film. I thought, well, oh, God, he's appeared in a film with Dustin Hoffman on the BBC. Wow. Oh, and wow. Dustin Hoffman on the BBC, no less, you know. And then I thought, wow, isn't that amazing? And then obviously, with Dustin Hoffman and Meryl Streep, Meryl Streep's big break was Tootsie, wasn't it? Yes?
Yeah.
With Dustin Hoffman. And then there was lots of Oscars involved in that film. And
no,
then
Meryl Streep's big break was doing the story of the girl who reveals about the radiation or the.
Yeah, but I never saw that. First time I'd ever heard of her, and she got an Oscar for it, was Tootsie. And she didn't get an Oscar for the previous film, did she? Or did she get nominated for one?
I don't know.
Because she is the world's most nominated woman, isn't she?
Yeah, she is.
But yeah, there's James Corden appearing, Dustin Hoffman one film, Meryl Streep in that one. And he's done rather well for himself, hasn't he? Yes?
Meryl Streep wasn't in Tootsie. Dustin Hoffman was.
Oh, no, that wasn't Tootsie. It was that one where they split up. What was that one called? Where they get divorced and there's a little boy and there's a bit of a tug of war.
Oh, yes. That one.
What was that one?
I thought
that was
Tootsie.
It's not, though.
Was it Kramer versus
Kramer? Kramer versus Kramer.
Kramer versus Kramer. There you go. There you go.
Yeah, so I'll give you, even though you can't hear it, I'll give Debbie
Lange
one of those.
Was in Tootsie.
Right.
Pasta.
Yes.
I have found a Doctor Who connection. I haven't seen Into the Woods, but I'm looking at the cast list,
yep.
And I did a little bit of research on some of these people. And Frances de la Tour, who played the Giant's wife.
She was not in Doctor Who, was she?
No, but
she
was considered in the 1980s as a possible replacement to Colin Baker.
Oh, right, okay.
Yes.
Really?
God. Well, it's just interesting cast because you've got Captain Kirk playing one of the Prince Charmings in it. You've got Emily Blunt being very pretty in it. And you've got, obviously, James Corden being very James Corden-y because he doesn't seem to play characters that sort of deviate from James Cordenism. But he is nevertheless very good. And he gets to sing in it. And he's quite a good singer. So. But, yeah, all in all.
And a Kendrick looking pretty.
Yeah. It's just great. It's a really good fun film. There's a lot some comedy in it. It's a good sort of spin on the fairy tales, and they amalgamate them together very well. I just sometimes fall asleep when there's lots of music going on. I did struggle with what's that thing I struggled with? Lord of the Rings, because there was too many fight sequences in it, so I started falling asleep during them. Yeah.
Well, they don't see the habit then.
Little Red Riding Hood's grandmother, played by Annette Crosby.
Yeah, she was in. That's the other Doctor Who connection.
She was in the 11th Hour.
Yes, thank you. I knew there was one in there, but I just couldn't think of the top of my head. That was a bit where I sort of started to doze off a bit. All in all, worth watching. Please go and see it.
I plan to see it when it comes out on DVD.
Oh, okay. Well, we saw it in the cinema. And Debbie, take Isla to see it. It's a treat.
She loves that sort of thing. She's really into it.
And the songs are great. It's really good music. It's just I did doze off a bit. Really good fun film. Only slightly scary in a couple of places, but no more scarier than, the Christmas special of Doctor Who. Right, so I was going to talk about whowon.co.uk.
Is that whowon.co.uk?
I went there the other day, and I was in the middle of a story saying that I'd written him an email, and he hadn't replied, so I thought it was in Ryder. I said to Debbie, before going to watch Into the Woods, if I nip into Alfie Who Won, because they were here, the Alpha Debbie, because they were in some clothes shop in Ride. I said, if I go into Who Won, that might jog his memory. And I went in there and he said, oh, hello, mate. And I said, oh, he didn't recognise because I had my hat on. Oh, the answer is yes and yes. So I proceeded to peruse
the
stuff.
The quiz then, if that's the answer.
Yeah. They had within, and I didn't notice this on the website, the Series 4 micro figures. And I bought six of them with the hope of finding my 11th, 12th Doctor. I've got a couple of 11th Doctors in because obviously it's random. You don't know what's in the pack. And yes, after the six, I got a 12th Doctor. Oh, here we go. She's trying to get my 11th Doctor off me.
Buy it off you.
You don't have to buy it off you. God, off me, even. I've got a prezi for you, actually.
I've got one for you as well.
No, I've got a prezi for you. In fact, I've got two prezis for you. In my glove compartment. Shut up.
Radiation glove?
In my glove compartment. I was in Newport the other day.
The radiation glove
and
compartment.
And there's a little shop that smells a bit funny. Be quiet, I'm telling a story. There's a little shop that smells a bit funny in Newport. If you go sort of walk around the back of the bus station, right? And it sells all sorts of hippie-ish type stuff.
Pipes smoke legal thing.
It smells a bit like that, but it's more of an incense sort of smell, and it's got that's the one. And in the window, these little pepper pots, salt and pepper pot, in fact, and they weren't Daleks. No, they were little TARDISes.
Cool.
And they were only £5, so I thought I'm having some, and then I'll get one for Debbie as well. I mean two, because there's some two in the set. So in my glove compartment is a salt and pepper pot TARDIS. The unfortunate thing is I went to whowon.co.uk and they had a far more detailed and more expertly produced pepper pot and salt pot for the TARDIS. But I think these are slightly more charming, because they look handmade. But the ones in the Who Won shop are very detailed and very good. And how much are they? Let's have a look. TARDIS. That's how you spell TARDIS. Salt. That's right. Yeah, sure they got it here. Oh, no. They have got it in there, but you can't see it on the website. Yeah, they got a TARDIS salt and pepper pot there. And, of course, they've got these micro figures, Series 4. I don't know if you can buy them online. I'm just going to find out. But if you can, they're £2. I know these in America are quite difficult to get hold of, aren't they, Kirby?
Yes. I was researching something.
Oh, what a surprise. Paying attention as usual. Yeah, it's not coming up with anything.
You're researching too.
Eh?
I'm researching too.
Hang on. 12th Doctor.
I'm responding to Billy Kirkbright.
Yeah, I'm posting to Billy at the moment, actually.
Oh, you're probably posting the same thing I just posted.
Right.
Wasn't the thing about the North,
character.
Was it?
No. Mauve.
Okay.
Right. Type that in. Oh, here we go. Right. So we've got character building figures, basically. I don't know if they're...
Character building?
They're character building, and you have to build them when you open them up. And if you look at the picture I post on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast Facebook group, which you can join, you'll see my brand new 12th Doctor figure perched on the right-hand side of my monitor along with his friends. The War Doctor is amongst the collection, but I didn't get one. But if you want to buy one off eBay, they're about 13, 14 quid if you're lucky to get one that cheap. Bearing in mind, they're £2 if you buy them randomly. I did get an Amy. What else did I get? There was a duplicate 11th Doctor in purple coat, which Isabella grabbed.
Very nice.
But the other one, obviously, is now going to the Melrose house.
My husband will be thrilled.
And a Clara. In fact, I've got two Claras, one which was actually the Oswin Oswald Clara, apparently, with a red souffle girl costume, and the other one was the Clara Oswald one, which in a slightly different costume. But, yeah, they're good fun, and I always like these little character building things. I don't know, they're quite cheap, and they're good fun to collect. The other things you can get from whowon.co.uk are things like TARDIS teapots, TARDIS mugs, various items of clothing, like the Captain Jack's, they call that thing, dressing gown, bathrobe, things like that.
Don't recall seeing anyone in the store.
You to send that to Billy.
What's that? But send what to Billy?
Every country has a North.
Yeah.
Where do you reference about North? I don't get it.
Yeah.
Grief.
Not at all with Billy's accent.
Oh, okay. Is that... We don't
he's
know that.
He's UK Northern.
Yeah, but he said he's Australian.
He is Australian, but that accent is very northern.
Oh, yeah. He says he's Australian.
He's got paper, bits of paper to prove it.
He's not lost it. He will not lose that. I lost mine.
No, not at all.
Oh, yeah, he wanted me to say glass back.
But that accent's still here.
He wanted me to say the words I can't say properly. I have to say glass.
What words are that?
Last.
This is a very long episode, listeners, but it was a very long episode, story of Doctor Who. Yeah, Amy Pond figures. Oh, by the way, they got a lovely Castrovalva set in Who Won, which is Peter Davison in Tom Baker's costume with the Master's column TARDIS that we were talking about last week. $24.99. It's a beautiful set, so that would be good. You can nip in and get one of those if you want, Deb. And there's a Case of Androsani set with Perry, unfortunately not wearing bikini, but with Shara's Jek. So,
okay.
And they've got a few nice little non-exclusive to Forbidden Planet sets available at Who
I'm heading over there the day after payday. I'm hoping that I don't go too nuts. I do need to eat.
Yeah. So next time you come round and record the show here, when are you off next week?
Hang on, I just literally went and got my diary.
Well, that's good then.
I'm off Tuesday, and Sunday's good.
Can't really do Sunday 2 weeks running. Yeah.
Mm, I'm off Tuesday, but I'm working all day Monday.
So we try Tuesday then?
Well, what would be wrong with next Sunday?
I can't do Sunday.
You can't do Sunday. There you go. We can't be
I thought Sunday was your preferred day.
It usually is, but every I've got other something week. Going next Sunday.
You've got something going on now.
There's a Pyramids of Mars set as well with
Shutex.
Yeah, usually Sunday is my preferred. Just look at us hanging around here and having a good time.
Tuesday. Tuesday.
So Tuesday for two episodes. Good grief.
Yeah. Sorry about that, Kirby.
Now, in case people did not get it, if you need it, I found on YouTube a reconstruction of
Marco Polo.
Mm-hmm. I can post.
Yeah.
Yep, that would be good. Is everybody all right with Edge of Destruction, by the way? Or do they need my help?
Yeah. Good. Is it Marco Polo several episodes?
Pretty good.
Yes, it is.
It's seven.
Seven, so we'll have from Tuesday to when we record the next to do seven more. Huh?
Mm. Well, you could start watching Marco Polo now.
Oh, no. I'm
not going to watch it now. I want to watch Match of the Day in a minute. Yes.
Did you see my post about all the First Doctor stuff?
I didn't catch what you said, Debbie.
Yes.
You are talking about the week after next, not like this Tuesday.
This Tuesday. No.
Because I was going to say I'm working and I don't think I can watch all of those.
No, we're talking about the 20th of January. Is that all right with you, Debbie? Good. Right. There we go, everybody. 20th of January, Edge of Destruction. We can expand on it. It's a two-episode story, but it's a very interesting two-episode story. So we can look into it in great detail, even though we probably already have earlier on. But it doesn't matter. It's a different aspect to looking at episode after episode, and as it's a very continuing story, that the way Doctor Who started. It's a bit like a science fiction soap opera in some ways. So, only one more thing for me to do, and that's to welcome new members to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast Facebook group, which you can join, and that is somebody that I don't remember them. There's people here I haven't seen before. What's gone? Somebody must have been adding people without me knowing. Oh, Edward Owen added Sarah Clarksville. And then Ben Shoveler added Kathleen what the hell does that actually? Showalter?
We're just going to stand back and let you struggle.
So I'm just looking at her picture. It's very pretty. And I added Matthew McGuinness. He'll probably leave the group pretty quickly, though. But yes, there are our three members to welcome. Welcome to the group. Welcome to the madness. And goodbye from us for this week. Bye.
Bye.
Goodbye. That was abrupt.
Yeah.
That was very abrupt.
That was all of a sudden.
Bye-bye,
he's come
everybody.
To the end of his sherry.
No, I've still got a bit left. I just want to watch Match of the Day.
Goodbye, fancy pants.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Drunk one.
Bye.
Bye. Drunk one. You have to listen to the TARDIS Tavern podcast.
20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV Services production and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.